It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running. It works better if you actually point the microphone toward the mouth. It points the microphone toward the mouth, or else it gets... Oh, I don't know. I can't think of the rhyme right now. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is the sixth day of March, 2019. And, well, it's Wednesday. Middle of the week, hump day, downhill to Friday, all of that. But in addition, of course, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And Brother Deacon Asa tells me that the Cathedral of Common Sense is hot and true on both holy streams. Looking forward to many lessons in faith and theologizing. Oh, I am too. I am too. I look forward to this every week. It's a toasty 60 degrees here in the pulpit of the Cathedral of Common Sense this evening. Maybe we've just gotten done with the last gasp cold snap of winter. Probably a bit too much to hope for, but hope does spring eternal. Snow on the ground outside, but let's see, overnight lows. 29 is about 26 is as low as it gets for the next week and a half or so. We got past the really brutal, nasty stuff. Yay. We have thanks to send out this evening, of course, as we almost always do. We have thanks to our subscribers to extend. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Bob. Thank you to Laurel. Thank you very kindly to Chris in Germany for being a longtime partial sponsor of the program. Thanks go out for the very same to our pal Kitty in Boston. And to Kim and Malin in New Jersey, thank you very kindly. And to Alex, thank you, Alex, for being a partial sponsor of the program and helping to keep the packets passing. Thank you to Brock. Thank you very kindly, Brock. And thank you to our buddy Don in West Tennistan. Thank you all so very much for helping to keep this little effort in independent, progressive, liberal, commercial-free broadcasting afloat. And I have to say, I think you're, I'm constantly humbled by your determination to keep this going. And one of these days, who knows, maybe we'll have more subscribers. Maybe someday we'll have 400 at 10 bucks a month. But we don't right now. And at midweek, our fundraising goal is at an even 400 bucks because our pal Charlene in Rogues Island knocked it down by another 20 bucks last night as the program ended. Thank you, Charlene. And so 10 at 40 at 10, 10 at 40, 1 at 400, ain't going to happen. 4 at 100, 2 at 200, 8 at 50, 16 at 25, 32 at 12 and a quarter. Or 64 at $6.13, and we'll round up that half penny and put it into Agnes's tanning bed fund. That sounds good, doesn't it?
What's wrong, honey? You don't want a tanning bed?
Oh, shit, you do. I'm sorry. Okay, well, we've just zeroed out Agnes's tanning bed fund. She says, I have lupus. I can't have a tanning bed. Bite me, Bob. My bad. We'll put it into Agnes's, I don't know, steam cabinet fund? Can you do a steam cabinet, sweetie?
Put it into my medical fund. I'm
going to
need it.
We'll use, we'll call it, yep, the steam cabinet fund. Yep. So this here being prayer meeting Wednesday, the little old blue-haired ladies decided today was going to be an innards kind of day. Hey, look, you know, don't let that ruin your dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Innards is good. So today the little old blue-haired ladies got out the pressure fryer and they got out their secret proprietary little old blue-haired lady the blend of herbs and spices, and it was liver, chicken livers and gizzards and hearts day. Yes, it was, and they made that nice creamy peppery chicken gravy to go with them, and there was cream. Mashed potatoes. When are mashed potatoes not good? You know, and green beans. The few jars left from last summer. You know, half runners. Mm-hmm. And they whipped up, you know, one of those lemon jello cheesecakes. The brother deacons seemed to have a taste for that. And it and some nice homemade clover leaf rolls, and the deacons seemed quite sated. But I tell you what, they trundled their massive bulk up the stairs there, brethren and sistren, and went outside and started chain smoking with the sinners. And there was a little grumbling because they know they got work to do this evening. They know they're going to be on their feet probably all 3 hours. Because with a $400 fundraising goal, they're going to be passing that plate and passing that plate and passing that plate and hoping that somebody will hit that PayPal button there in the middle of the brass-bound, velvet-lined, burgundy velvet-lined plate and helping to knock down them $400. So when Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door with the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, they knew that they had no choice in the matter. But they was grumbling a little bit. So it'd be, you know, when the deacons are peakish, it's just not a lot of fun. So if y'all would help out, help a cathedral of common sense pastor out when the plate's passing by there. Don't, you know, every head bowed and every eye closed. You know the drill. Just kind of keep one eye scrunched open so you don't take one in the noggin. But push that PayPal button. And let's knock down some of this $400 fundraising goal, so I can stop sweating some of the March bills. Maybe get out in front of them. Even nah, that ain't gonna happen. It's nice to dream, but get some of the surly out of the deacons. They are no fun when they are surly, none whatsoever. They sit there on the front row and they grumble and Well, I agree. Brother Lee in New York says Agnes's fund. Agnes should have a vacation fund, says Brother Lee. If you treat her well, she might take you along. That's going to be a whole lot of half pennies, Lee. But I'm signed on. Steve in New York says, "Oh dear, dear Bob, it's Ash Wednesday. Why are we eating such good food tonight? Seems to me that we need to be fasting for Jeebus." Until the deficit we have is gone. Have you ever asked people to... No. Just no. Although, I saw Hans Nichols, NBC reporter Hans Nichols, and he should... I don't think about these things. I mean, I barely recognized that yesterday was Mardi Gras. Because I grew up in a tradition where we don't do the symbolism and stuff. I had a brother-in-law once who was a Church of Christer, who swore up and down it wasn't Palm Sunday, but that it was Psalm Sunday, and it was a special day when all you did was read Psalms on Sunday. I kid you not. But regardless, Hans Nichols shows up when I'm watching MSNBC earlier today, And I just immediately tweeted. I wasn't even thinking. Could somebody tell Hans what's his name? He's got, hand him a wet paper towel. He's got dirt on his forehead. And I went, oh, shit. Ash Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if you like cigars like I do, every day is an ash day. Or then again, there's the father of a dear friend of mine who to this day, well, he had himself cremated when being cremated. He was a man ahead of his time. He was eccentric for around here. And when he died, he made sure that his tombstone said, he made an ash of himself. I could take you there right now. That gives his name, date of birth, date of death. He made an ash of himself. So, yeah. I don't come from a tradition that gets into fasting. Baptists do not fast. Baptists get to the cafeteria after the service fast, but they don't not eat. Uh-uh. Just no. So, knowing that we've got $400 to raise and that it is prayer meeting Wednesday, we will... I'll ask the Minister of Music to please step forward and lead us in our offertory hymn with every head bowed and every eye closed. Yes.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hut, sut, Ralston on the rilla raw and a brawl, a suet, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistern, to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. How glory. Amen. I hope you got yourself a belly full of livers and gizzards and hearts. Because I tell you what, it's going to be a stirring exploration of faith this evening. I know it. I have had a message from on high. That's why I'm calling on you. Oh, amen. Right now, this minute, to get up off of your seat.
glory, and on to your feet, amen, and scrinch, and screech, and squinch, and wiggle, and waggle, and wobble, and move without rhythm, amen, so you won't attract the worms, hallelujah, and come on down that blood-red aisle, and fall upon your knees at the altar, lay your hands upon the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays, amen, glory, ain't he good, flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, live from the Cathedral of Common Sense, going out to all the ships at sea, all the planes in the air, satellites, shut-ins, and maybe even the emperor of the multi-limbed amorphous people of the system of Norblap 9. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, brethren and sistren, there are many places we could have gone to begin this prayer meeting Wednesday. But I think we have to start with the Pope of the Southern Baptist Church. Oh, sure, they say they ain't got no Pope, but they take marching orders. They damn sure do, brethren and sistren. They take marching orders. And you know who they take them from? They take them from Jerry Falwell, a junior. Even Franklin Graham doesn't wield the power that Jerry Falwell Jr. wields. No. Not at all. For when Jerry Falwell Jr. says something, well, all of Baptistness sits up and takes notice. Yes, they do. And I'll be dipped. Hang on a minute. Trying to get to the audio. I was all ready for it. Give me just a second, please. There we are. Yes, indeed. So we're going to have to do a little bit of time travel to set this whole thing up. It was a while back, a year or so, more than a year ago, there at Jerry Falwell University, the Southern Baptist Pope was speaking to a massive crowd of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians. And he was telling them where the real threat to America comes from. And, of course, in the sick, twisted mind of Brother Jerry Falwell, Jr., it comes from brown-skinned people from the Middle East. You know, like Jesus was.
If some of those people in that community center had had what I've got in my back pocket right now,
you may rest assured what he has in his back pocket is not a pocket-sized copy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the fact that he's standing on stage in front of a bunch of roaring religious maniacs with a firearm in his pocket.
Is it illegal to pull it out? I don't know.
Really? He went there? He really, really went there? Dang. Why not? There's nothing quite like the faith, the mountain moving faith in Christ Jesus. Now let's get this squared away. What did he say there?
Is it illegal to pull it out?
Yeah, that's what I thought he said.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Only thing is, Jerry Jr. was talking about an engine of death. A freedom protector. You'll have that.
Is it illegal to pull it out? I don't know. Is that? I've always people had concealed carry permits.
Hold on, I don't know what's going on.
I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims before they walk in and kill us.
We could end those Muslims. Maybe there's a phrase that goes with that. How about, I think what Jerry Falwell Jr. was suggesting was a, dare I say it, final solution for Muslims. Because, of course, he's a follower of the Prince of Peace. Well, like I said, that was years ago. And this is more like now. Jerry Jr. has been engaged. Well, Jerry Falwell Jr. is another one of those people who is allowing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to live rent-free in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains. And he's terribly, terribly upset about her. You'd think she was, well, it's not going to be too long before he declares her to be the Antichrist, really. Jesus, these are some hateful people. Jerry is, of course, doing what conservative Southern Baptists do, and that is the work of the devil, if the devil was real. The devil is real. It's just that the devil is people like Jerry Falwell working evil and iniquity on planet Earth instead of trying to move toward a, that world of peace and plenty that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress, was talking about. And one of the lies that's being told, and we've heard it here already on this program, is that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to make sure you can't have no cheeseburger no more. And this apparently scares Jerry Falwell Jr. plum waterboweled. You know, it works better, Bob, if you pot up the channel. Someday I'm going to have a whole production staff. No, I'm not.
Yeah. When my boys always had guns in their hands. So we didn't. That's not something.
Hashtag me too.
That's not something you teach.
Oh, the guy. Hashtag me too. That's dim son. That's dipshit Donnie Jr. The same guy who tweeted out earlier that the DNC paid for the Steele dossier, when in fact Christopher Steele was originally engaged by a Republican publication called the Washington Examiner. Yeah. This is a conversation that took place not in the arena there at Falwell U, but at CPAC this last weekend. We're still mining the gold. Okay, it wasn't gold. We're still mining the filth that came out of CPAC. Hashtag disappointment. Brother Deacon Asa said, I was personally hoping in that other clip that Jerry Falwell Jr. would pull a dildo out from his back pocket. Well, no, he just is a dildo. That's all. Hashtag me too. My boys always have guns in their hands. Yeah, have you checked recently, Jer?
That's not something.
Hashtag me too.
That's not something you teach them. That's something they're born with. But as far as those cows you mentioned, I've got 100 cows. You just let Alexandria Cortez show up at my house and try to take my cows away.
Yeah, his cows, otherwise known as his girlfriends, or concubovines. Yeah, before anybody gives me one, I'm giving myself a cowbell for concubovines. And hey, how ironically apt, a cowbell for concubovines. Ooh, winning. We are off and running this evening, I'm telling you. Whew! Ow, I'm hot.
Yes.
I love cows, Jerry. They're delicious.
apparently, that's all women are allowed to do there. It's laugh appreciatively at cows are delicious. Yeah, just let that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez get near my cows. What a moving declaration that was. Oh, could it be? Yes, it is. It's another cowbell for me. Winning. I rule. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's Jerry Falwell Jr. saying that he would like to do violence to a sitting member of the House of Representatives of the United States simply because he has a personal disagreement with her about B, something that he does not even faintly or vaguely understand. When he was called out for being the racist that he is, Jerry Falwell Jr. responded, "Only real racists call other people racist. They're the only ones who think that way." What a turd. If you like the occasional Bible verse, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, we can work one in here. Let's see here. Ah, yes, there it is. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. And we use the King James Bible around here because it's ever so much more elegant because it's written in Elizabethan English. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because this is part of that red letter part of the... Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. A sepulcher is a place where in the ancient burial traditions of Palestine around the first century BCE into the first century CE, it was, at first people were wrapped up and chucked in a cave to rot for a while, and then when they'd rotted real good, yeah, I'll tell you what, dinner's taking a beating in the Eastern time zone this evening. After they were good and rotten, the family would go in. Did they have Vicks paper rub back then to put under their noses? I don't know. But then they'd just gather up the bones and they'd put them in a stone box called an ossuary, and then they'd stick the ossuary in a sepulcher. And or you could even say the hole in the wall where they threw them in the first place to rot away for a while, that was a sepulcher too. And they were apparently gessoed nice and white with plaster and everything, pretty and shiny in the sun. But what Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress, is saying there is that these people like to appear outwardly righteous, but that inside they're just filthy. They're disgusting. They're hypocrites. In other words, they're Falwells. See, here's a way you can find out if something is transferable in a piece of literature. Woe unto you, Falwells, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Falwells. See how it works? Yes, of course. But he's obsessed. He's absolutely obsessed with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as are ever so many others. Let's check in with White Wing Gospel Sharp Rick Joyner, shall we?
I believe it goes back to some fundamental issues. But it talks about in Isaiah, when we start calling good evil and evil good and honoring the dishonorable and dishonoring the honorable, which we're doing now as a country, you know what the consequences for doing that is named? The judgment of God that would come upon the countries that would do that. Capricious children will be your leaders.
Capricious children. Who's he talking about? Capricious children.
Read it in Isaiah 5, chapter 5. Capricious children. I couldn't imagine anyone leading more capricious than this Ocasio-Cortez.
Yep, she's called Wayfair and set up housekeeping in between Rick Joyner's ears, too. Man, I tell you what, it's got to be kind of fun. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has to just chuckle up her sleeve every now and then at the absolute conniption that she's caused among the white wingers. God, they look at her and they get so horny, and they realize that she wouldn't get near them with a 20-foot battle lance. And then they get angry about it, because that's a seeming insult to all their white male privilege. Ew. Just yuck. And they despise the fact that she's intelligent. That's why they call her things like capricious children. Hey, Rick Joyner, you fucking dumbass. She's near 30 years old. And you're citing from a book back when the average lifespan of a human being didn't get to be anywhere about 50. So, in your book, she's not a capricious children. She's a full-grown, middle-aged adult, by your own standards, dumbass.
You dick!
Right.
And it's remarkable. You see the seniors standing behind her as she spews the stuff like they're she is already leading the seniors in her party. She's having more impact. They're listening to her. They're not rebuking her.
Maybe they're not rebuking her because she stands to be on this planet a hell of a lot longer than the seniors in her party. Maybe it's about time we started listening to the people whose world the seniors have fucked. Mostly the seniors in the other party, but fucked just the same.
At all for the foolish, maddening things she's saying. I mean, there have been some minor rebukes come from some. But how shocking is this? It's happening right before our prophecy being fulfilled.
Yeah, no. Not hardly. But Rick Joyner is also hardly the only person that's losing their mind over her. Let's check in with Kurt Schlichter. He's what passes for a pundit in White Wing circles, and he too is wrought about, well, you know, her.
There is no example in recorded history where the people promoting socialism didn't at the same time simply assume that they were going to be the ones in charge.
Huh?
Now, if you went to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her commie friends and said, great.
Commies. You know, I've never even seen so much as a single video clip of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez whistling the Internationale. I bet she doesn't even know the words. And being as how it's the Internationale, you can't dance to it too good either.
We will take socialism, we will impose it, but none of you advocates for it can in any way participate in its operation. You cannot run it. You will not have positions of power in it. Well, then it'll become a lot less attractive, because it's not attractive in a socialist state.
Pretty attractive in Sweden. Pretty fucking attractive in Norway and Finland. Teachers don't have to go on strike in Finland because they're paid on a par with doctors, because they are as important in society as doctors, being how they educate the little ones, and so that there can be more doctors another generation or so later. Huh? Socialism's running pretty damn good in Denmark. That socialized national health service there in the UK, despite the best efforts of people who have caught the American disease over there to do away with it, the approval rate for the NHS in the UK is really high. Socialist railroads, socialist highways, socialist regulatory schemes that have banned things like Roundup. Yep, and somehow or another, the trains are still running on time, the planes are still landing and taking off, and people are living fairly happy lives. Most of the countries in Europe have a higher quality of life index than we do here in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. You know, brutal capitalism.
To be the guy not making the decisions. You know, when they talk about universal health care, the health care for you is going to be a long line at a doctor, 7-month wait to get somebody to look at your ingrown toenail.
Interesting, but here in brutal capitalist health care, you still get months-long waits for a doctor's appointment for your ingrown toenail. Really happens. Of course, emergency medicine in states with universal access to universal health care coverage, you got an emergency, you get seen. You got preventive medicine, you get seen. Child welfare, child health, you get seen. Oh, and how about the maternal postpartum death rate? yeah, it's a lot lower in countries with universal health care coverage than it is here in the land of brutal capitalist health care coverage. Hell, the maternal postpartum death rate in this country is higher than it is in Cuba. Shh. Don't tell Kurt Schlichter. You go to the Schlichter cutoff, and you get out of your car, and you cut off your Schlichter. That one never gets old.
But for the socialists, the people in charge, their medical care will be just fine. There will be no expense spared. They will fly on jets. You will not.
Oh, okay. How often do you reckon Emery and Marveline fly on jets, now that we're talking about it? Yeah, I didn't think so either. Hell, Emery has to strap on a High Point 45, and sticks it in the waistband of his pants and hope he doesn't shoot his ancient Johnson off with the bullet exiting, you know, right. We talked about this last night. Just to go to the Wally World and get a jug of milk and a loaf of bread, because he's a chicken shit, because he's a patriot.
They will have cars. You won't. They will eat hamburgers. You will eat some sort of vegan nightmare food.
Okay. I don't like it when I have to agree with somebody like Kurt Schlichter, but vegan nightmare food kind of resonates with me. But I don't think that's really the meaning of socialism. That's the meaning of a world devastated by climate change that makes it impossible to run massive feedlot operations so that we can industrially slaughter, you know, Jerry Falwell's girlfriends, his concubovines. Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm just proud of that. Concubovines. That's mine. I came up with that. Jerry Falwell's concubovines. Vegan nightmare food resonates with me, however. But here's the thing. You know, Agnes and I were looking at each other over the weekend. Well, I mean, we look at each other. It wasn't just that we, Hey, you! Yeah, strangers in the night, she said. But we realized something last weekend. I said, hey, honey, I think the Green New Deal must have already kicked in, because I can't remember the last time we ate a steak. And she said, I can't either. I said, frankly, I had the first hamburger I've eaten. I'm sorry, hamburger. I want to make sure that I'm squared up with the modern dear leader English. I had the first hamburger that I've had in eons Saturday. About the only time I ever go to McDonald's is for a cup of coffee, and if I'm there at breakfast time and I'm in a hurry, I'll get one of those sausage and egg burrito thingies. Which, without the picante sauce, by the way, the hot picante sauce, which isn't hot. That reminds me. Ah. Friends, have I told you about Trader Joe's Yuzu hot sauce? As the label says, it's simultaneously spicy and citrusy fragrant. And it is. I think there's like a couple of drops left in my other bottle. Next time I do, I'm going to put it in the car. And the next time I swing by McDonald's and get those couple of otherwise inedible sausage and egg burritos, I'm gonna put those last few drops on that. Yes. And I imagine it might even make them delicious. Who knows? But Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger Thing, God knows I can't afford Five Guys. We just about don't eat any beef. And that's not because of the Green New Deal. And it's not because we're trying to jump out there and reduce our carbon footprint, although we've reduced our carbon footprint pretty substantially. It's because we can't afford it. Because we're a working class family. And for a long time now, you know, jumping out and buying a big old hunk of beef, okay, that's the last time. Yeah, that was it. It was the brisket back at New Year's, fully 2 months ago. That was when. Just dawned on me. But that's capitalism, sunshine. When you can't afford something like, you know, big old hunk of beef. That's capitalism. That's not the Green New Deal. That's not socialism. That's not the work of the commies that Kurt Schlichter there is talking about. That's just life in Trump-merca.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going to get your hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what else is going to happen? I remember a long time ago, it was one of the best sustained laughs I've ever had on this program when our buddy Devin called in and talked about the good God-fearing coal miner in northern West Virginia who done won his EEOC case because he wouldn't use that there card to log into his time clock because it might be the mark of the beast. And the dumbass won. But they get all worked up, and it happens on our side, too. On our side, we've got people who, Wi-Fi. You know, it makes it easier for the people from Norblap 9 to send messages to them through the fillings in their teeth or something. I don't know. But they get all worked up about being chipped. I remember several years ago, it was down in Louisiana, some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, amosexual Christians got all worked up about chips to keep track of children's school lunch. Remember that? Yeah. Well, they're still worked up. Enter E.W. Jackson. That's the way Flush Flimball says it, and he's a professional multimillionaire broadcasters, what he is. Give me another one of those OxyContin. Give me a handful. I like to chew them up with a refreshing burst of flavor. E.W. Jackson. Well, he knows what the Green New Deal is all about. Yes, he does.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is now going around telling young people, she's got a third of the country, according to polls agreeing with her, that having a child is a crime, given the fact that the planet will be destroyed in 10 to 12 years by climate change. Having a child is a crime. I mean, that sounds like communist China. Having a child is a crime. She's got about a third of the people in the country, according to polls, at least agreeing. Yes, you don't want to. Nobody should want to have children given the threat of climate change and the destruction of the planet. And, you know, there are children now who are suing the government for killing them because climate change is going to kill them. They've got children brainwashed and indoctrinated into this mess.
You know, children who are going to be alive in, say, 2080 when the sea levels have risen a couple of feet, when you have to put on hip waders to, say, spend the afternoon at South Beach in South Florida and get there by boat when there's no more Key West. Yeah, those kids.
And think about this. If my disagreement with that, if your disagreement with that runs the risk of killing everybody on the planet, and that's what they're saying, folks. That's what they're saying. if what you are advocating, which is that God made this planet, it's capable of healing itself, it's capable of dealing with the pollution that...
Oh, time out. I've got my wingnut religion industry freaks mixed up. This has nothing to do with chipping. Chipping is next.
That the industrial and technological revolution brings to bear, that the planet is not in the throes of destruction and going to implode on itself and all this nonsense that these climate...
Yeah, you know what? Nobody... Hey, E.W. Jackson. Nobody said the planet's going to implode. What's going to happen is it's going to become very difficult for human beings to live on this planet. It's going to become very difficult for this planet to support human life. Because, remember, E.W. Jackson doesn't acknowledge the reality of evolution. And the only hope, if we just say, fuck it, let the planet boil, the only hope we've got is that we might evolve to deal with it. But evolution is a process that takes generations upon generations upon generations. Little mutations here, little mutations there, until we find out through natural selection which ones work best with the environment in which the mutations are living. For instance, in this here warming planet, white folks are going to need to evolve a shit ton more melanin in their systems than what they've got now. And then how are they going to be able to figure out who they hate? Yeah. Anyway, back to E-Dub.
James crazies tell us, if you believe that, you are the equivalent of a mass murderer trying to kill everybody on the planet. Well, how do you deal with a mass murderer? You kill them. I don't know where else.
Wait. Did you hear that? There was a little moment of a little bit of R&B funk going on back there. Stay with the funk there, E-Dub. It was helping. Did you get that? Did you hear that?
It would go, because I don't think the left will ever. Well, how do you deal with a mass murderer? You kill them. I don't know where else it would go, because I don't think the left will ever stop. And since they believe that now Ocasio-Cortez is added into the mix, that we are killers of the planet if we don't go along with her dramatic climate change proposals, now we're all mass murderers. And like I said, what do you do with mass murderers? Well, you can answer that question for yourself, right? If that's what we are, for not going along with climate deniers and mass murderers, what do you do with us? Well, you can imagine what you do with us. We're in the way.
You know what? You do nothing with them. You just let them deny and deny and deny. And natural selection, whether he acknowledges it or not, will take care of them. The only problem is it's going to take care of the rest of us along the way. But again, I remind you that a few, well, say 10, 15, 20 million years from now, I mean, we've got time. The planet's going to be here for a couple more billion years before the sun goes nova. Very funny. Brother Deacon Asa. Why do white folks have to grow a lot of melanin, Bob? Why can't they just walk around in Northam face? Northam face. That's what the cowbell was for, was Northam face.
But see, we don't have time to have natural selection save us. We just don't.
Oh, by the way, thank you to Chris in the far still frozen north. Says a $50 ice road challenge. That's right. There's an ice road challenge on the table right now to help take a bite out of the $400 that we are presently down. Meet this, Chris says, and I'll double it to $100. So
we could, if somebody will meet Chris's $50 challenge, we will actually take we'll fill in the hole to where it's only $250 deep. And Chris says, I tried to kick in online, but I'm in a remote community of Wekwiti, Northwest Territories, and could not. I'll complete it once I return to Yellowknife, Northern Territories. So thank you, Chris. Thank you very, very kindly. And hopefully somebody will jump right in there, meet your $50, and then we'll take it the rest of the way, hopefully take it the rest of the way down this evening, and I can deal with a nasty little bill tomorrow. Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much indeed. Couple of other notes. Robert in Australia, subject line, terrible socialized medicine. That reminds me, I have to see my doctor tomorrow, so I better drive over to their practice and start queuing right now. And when I had two heart stents put in, I thankfully didn't have private health insurance. If I had, I would have gotten a huge copay bill. As I only had terrible socialized Medicare, I just signed my name. As for eating a hamburger three times a day because of climate change, we really don't know what the world will look like in 50 years. Eating beef even once a week may be something only the super rich will be able to afford to do. Maybe it's time to remake Soylent Green. You know, great minds think alike. That movie is largely ruined by the presence of Charlton Heston and some really bad, ultra-groovy 70s design where we all sit around in rounded chairs and wear nothing but Dacron polyester jumpsuits. The only saving grace to Soylent Green was the presence of Edward G. Robinson, whose final film it was, and ironically, whose final scene in his final film was a deathbed scene. But I would like to see it remade. You know, as long as that one guy who fucks up everything he remakes or reboots doesn't get hold of it. I draw the line there. And the other person who can't get hold of it is that woman who completely botched and made a miserable hash out of Altered Carbon. Not her neither. Good idea, Robert. Irish Dave says, darned Irish Alzheimer's. I can't remember if it was Spielberg or George Lucas that whined that eating a soy burger with sprouts was like going down on an alien in the E.T. sense. So when the two Corinthians stopped to give oral to the cows, red heifers, by the side of the road to Damascus, did they then go into a leather bar and use the John and shit? Asking for a Christian brother. Good God, man. You can't make that stuff up. Going back to the whole Ash Wednesday thing, Ash Wednesday and Justice, our buddy Scott in San Diego writes, Ash Wednesday did not bode well for controversial comedian Lenny Bruce in a Chicago courtroom. One of his most famous routines, Religions, Inc., painted the Pope, Billy Graham, New York's Cardinal Spellman, and other hierarchs as crass showbiz figures. Another bit, Christ and Moses, had the two great figures of Judaism and Catholicism visiting St. Patrick's Cathedral, appalled by the wealth of the church and the poverty it permitted in its faithful. Remember, this was in the late 1950s, so Bruce's observations shocked and angered the police and the Catholic Church in Chicago, where Lenny Bruce performed those routines. Chicago's vice squad boss visited a nightclub where Bruce was performing and told the owner, if he ever speaks against religion, I'm going to pinch you and everyone in here. If he mocks the Pope and I'm speaking as a Catholic, I'm here to tell you your license is in danger. True to its word, the city revoked the Gate of Horn nightclub's liquor license. There's some irony. For 3 weekends on the charge of putting on a lewd show. Lenny's Chicago obscenity trial began on Ash Wednesday, 1963. He was not encouraged to see that the judge and the jury all had ash crosses on their foreheads. Convicted, later overturned. Yeah, that was back when we had a court that understood that the government had no business enforcing religious dictates. Steve in New York says, I admit it, I'm beating a dead horse. But I have to ask this question, though it's essentially rhetorical at this point. How is it that anyone can look at this toad and his toadlings and see anything at all resembling the Beatitudes in what Falwell and his toadlings say or do? They don't care about the Beatitudes, Steve. They don't even care about the teachings of Jesus. Their Christianity, their evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, so-called Christianity, is a weapon. It's a cudgel, not a comfort. And as Steve notes, the planet will cure itself by getting rid of us. And that makes me sad. Because I think humanity has real potential. We just have to grow, and the E.W. Jacksons have to fade away, and we have to have a moment of consciousness raising. Yeah, I feel really bad about what I did to dinner this evening, because our buddy Reverbo wrote in and said he was fixing his specialty Tampico salmon this evening. It, by the way, the same guy who said it was Psalm Sunday said you were supposed to pronounce the L in salmon, Salmon. I never had salmon that he cooked because I was afraid he would get it confused with salmonella. He used to wear his pants pulled all the way up to his nipples, he did. But that's neither here nor there. What's that? Heather says, I'm fading in and out on TuneIn. Sorry, not a blessed thing I can do about that. That must be a buffering issue with White Rose or something like that. Odd. Robert follows up, subject line, Soylent Green. As long as they keep the opening sequence, fields and forests, trees cut down, farms, towns, cities, oil wells, smokestacks, the music gets faster and faster and the images pass faster and faster. Bang! New York in 2020, population 40 million. Clear the streets, curfew is in effect, echoes over the public address system. Soylent Green was definitely an apocalyptic vision. And the problem is, it's not that, hey, look, we don't have 40 million people in New York and there's no curfew and so they were wrong. It's that they got the timing off. Yeah. Hey, Samson, thank you very kindly for meeting Chris's Ice Road Challenge. Thank you very kindly. That means that, we are now only $250 away from coming even with the week if we can knock that out in, say, the next hour and 58 minutes or so. That would be wonderful. Thank you, Samson. That's huge. Lee, who says, I'm the only person who ever called him Brother Lee, because his parents only had one child. Lee says they figured out their mistake. Fear of being monitored, says Lee. People who fear being monitored do not know how many records exist about us. Birth certificate, education, grades and tests, bank account, personal internet access, email address, any medical visits and lab tests, social security number, own any assets, own property or sign a lease, drive a car, credit card, travel by airplane, passport. And that's barely scratching the surface. That's true, Lee. That's true. So now, with the Ice Road Challenge having been met, we'll keep the plates passing. Uh-uh, you deacons. No, no. No, it's not sitting down time. Uh-uh. This is work. Keep them moving. We'll block the doors if we have to and start passing out the sweet iced tea. I don't want to do that, but it's happened before. Keep the plates moving, or you'll be cleaning up the results. Dadgum deacons. No, so now the microchipping, and of course the microchipping comes from it because it has to, from Rick Wiles, who is just gets up every day, oh, it's the end times, and then he goes to bed that night. Well, I guess it wasn't the end times today. Yeah, but tomorrow's going to be the end times. And, you know, Rick Wiles loves him some precious little fetuses. One of these days I'm going to get started in the sissises, and the whole damn show's going to go by and be nothing but fetuses. He loves him some fetuses. And he worries about the fetuses getting killed out there by them heathen women. Well, he draws the line at microchips. sometimes the postborn, well, they may just have to take it in the head.
For the first time, Doc, I think it's possible. I really think it's possible. I'm going to see it in my lifetime.
After this past week?
After this week, I now think it's realistic that I can be alive and see Christ return. Before, just don't know.
Ain't gonna happen. But by the way, just so you'll know, this is four white guys sitting around rapping. Four white evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christians. Because who else is in it? Well, the women are supposed to remain silent. Remember? Yes.
You don't know. But now, this thing's moving so fast that I'm now thinking it's very possible that I'm going to be alive to see it. But I do know this. I have two children. And I have grandchildren.
By the way, just as an aside, if you run over to wvgazettemail.com and you click on opinion and you click on op-eds, you'll find a little something from me published in the paper. An op-ed I wrote about some of what we've been talking about with the business with Ilhan Omar and the poster and everything. That's, like I said, that's strictly an aside. But what's that, Rick Wiles? Huh?
Very possible that I'm going to be alive to see it. But I do know this. I have two children.
Yeah, he has two children. Just like Eric Porterfield, a member of the House of Delegates, a Republican, a servant of the Prince of Peace, who calls a woman in a parking lot a fucking bitch, and Jesus's buddy pokes his eyes out in the process for the trouble. He had two children, and he said if he found out they were gay, that he'd drown them. Rick Wiles has two children, too.
And I have grandchildren, and I've got to do everything I can to make sure they are ready.
Amen.
What, are they not going to rapture up naked into the clouds with you, Rick? Or do they just not want to be around you when you're naked? Did they learn that the hard way, Rick? See, Rick flipped out, Rick Wiles did, when he saw a man get a microchip implanted in his hand at a meeting in Barcelona, Spain. And any time a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian sees a microchip, you can't read it. But if you put it under a microscope, it says it right there. It's about the size of a grain of rice. And it says it right there, 666. And underneath it says Ronald Wilson Reagan. No, it don't say that. He was sent to America by God. And Satan just made his name add up to 666 to confuse the unbelievers. That's right.
Oh, God, my soul grieves for the children, the little children.
Yeah, see, my soul grieves for the little children, too, because they're not going to be little children in 2090. They're going to be septuagenarians. The ones born this year are going to be septuagenarians in 2090. When you have to, you know, when the sea levels have risen and the planet's so fucking hot, we can't grow food the way we used to grow food and feed at least us and let most of the planet fucking starve. We'll be starving too. And it won't be for want of goddamn hamburgers either. I grieve for the children. On the other hand, Rick Wiles doesn't give a hoot in hell about the children born today who are going to be septuagenarians in 2090 and deal with the realities of climate change, because he's pretty sure climate change is a satanic hoax.
Who are 1 year old right now, two, three, four, and they're growing up in this godless world. And they're going to be indoctrinated to believe that they should be chipped. You're going to have to take a stand for Jesus Christ, and it's going to cost you your life.
That's not a big selling point there, Rick. course, it also sounds a lot like the sort of stuff that ISIS preaches. Oh, well, you know, we're gonna establish the caliphate, and, well, you schmuck with the AK-47 in your hands, or the M-16 or the AR-15 or what the hell ever that got dropped by the Iraqi army when they ran away from us and threw down their weapons, and now we got some pretty good shit going on here. You're not going to live to see the caliphate, but hoo-wee, you're going to give your life for Allah, and he's going to be waiting for you in heaven. Yes. Well, why do you reckon evangelical Christians would have that in common with fundamentalist Muslims? Because it's the evangelical fundamentalist part, and they're evangelical fundamentalist Muslims, too. It's the evangelical fundamentalist part that fucks everything up.
I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. And I'm trying to get myself spiritually and psychologically strengthened for that day.
Right.
It's not... Look, I can take... I can handle... I'm you know... At my age, I've lived most of my life, okay? If I get executed 10, 15 years from now, okay, most of my life's gone. But what?
Executed. Who's going to execute him? It hasn't dawned on him yet that us liberals, us progressives over here, are almost uniformly near 100% opposed to the death penalty. It never dawns on him that the people out there hollering, I'll pull the switch, you betcha. Ooh, let me press the button on the horizontal crucifix. I want to see him die. Those aren't liberals, Rick, you fucking dumbass. Those are conservatives. Those are your same good God fear. So the only way you're going to wind up getting executed in the next 15 years, Rick Wiles, is if we find ourselves in a theocracy and somebody decides that you are not sufficiently religiously pure. Maybe, well, it's like that old gag. I forget who, Stephen Wright used to tell it. You know, two guys are talking to each other, and one says, you a Baptist? Yeah. Well, how about that? I'm a Baptist, too. You a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian, too. What kind of Christian? I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Baptist, too. Well, I'm a missionary Baptist. Well, I'm a free will Baptist. Die, heretic! We're the ones on this side that run around with the coexist bumper stickers on our cars. Not him and his. And by the way, projection-wise, if Todd's out there, he's probably going, Bob, projection! I get it, Todd. When they talk about this shit, they're actually signaling what they'd like to do to the rest of us. Understand how dangerous these evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals are. Okay?
What about my grandchild? Am I going to stand there and watch them execute my grandchildren?
No. But for the sake of argument, let's let him continue.
And you didn't prepare your grandchildren? Are you going to accept? Are you telling me you're going to end your time on this earth and stand before God someday knowing that you didn't prepare your grandchildren to resist the Antichrist and you watched them get chipped? You're going to promise your grandchildren they're going to be raptured, and the rapture is a lie. Huh? What are you going to do when your
dude really needs to take a break from the acid?
Grandchildren are chipped. What are you going to do when your son and daughter are microchipped? What are you going to do when your pastor is microchipped?
So, if I've got Rick Wiles right, he'd rather see his grandchildren die than have a microchip? It almost sounds like he'd be willing to kill them. You know, just like Eric Porterfield said that he'd be willing to drown his own children rather than find out that they were gay. As Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress, used to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this guy has homicidal impulses, homicidal urges. They're dangerous. You know, there's an archive of this program. And I hope someday that people aren't looking at it or listening to it. It ain't video. Aren't listening to it and saying, "What? You know, what a pity nobody understood what a danger the evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian religion was in the last years of the second decade of the 21st century." What a pity that the United States allowed freaks like Larry Klayman and Rick Wiles and Rick Joyner and E.W. Jackson to hide behind the skirts of the First Amendment while they screamed the hate that eventually tore this country to pieces. What a shame. Chipped children, asks Irish Dave. Chipped beef on toast, shit on a shingle, or SOS in Army parlance. Chipped children, food shortage. I'm thinking there's a cruel joke in there some damn place, but can't come up with it now. I'll have to get back to you, Katie. Katie. Leah, New York, says, "Our cats have microchips in case they escape the comforts of home. Or maybe we just want them to burn in hell." Brother Deacon Asa says, "Yes, Rick Wiles would like to see his kids chipped in a tree chipper than wear an electronic device. You betcha." They're bizarre and they're dangerous. Quote, "I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying to you," unquote. Lee says, "Isn't that what people say when you don't believe them? And you should never believe them when they have to say this?" Yes, and yes. But I'll add in there the standard disclaimer where Rick Wiles is concerned. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Wonder how many people with screws loose heard that broadcast and thought, you know, maybe we better kill the babies before they can get chipped or vaccinated. Huh? I think Rick Wiles has a Jonestown fetish. Flavor Aid. Yeah, this is all a hot mess. I don't understand. I don't understand what it is that why they're so obsessed. Well, yes, I do. It's because they participate in a death cult. Because that's what Christianity is. I mean, look, today's Ash Wednesday.
right? And it's part of an overall celebration of the murder of a Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress and said we really ought to try to figure out a way to be nicer to each other. And so there are literally billions of people around the planet right now who are celebrating that. And as that's nauseating. It just is. Well, it's been a while since we heard from Bill Deagle. Yeah, he's upset too. They're all upset. Remember, Dr. Bill Deagle is one of those vitamin hustlers. And this particular vitamin hustler doesn't understand how laws are made. He wants Julius Geezer to simply declare, well, to simply make a law without having Congress there. Congress is it just gets in the way of making America great again. Well, that's true, too. Jimmy in the Great Northwest notes, cow chips burn in the desert. Yeah, and Agnes is right. All of these right-wing men that are so infatuated with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they really are infatuated with her. As Agnes said, they think she's hot. Anyway, back to Dill Beagle,
Well, I saw even the senator from California met by these kids who were actually walked in there on the Fox News report, trying to lecture her about the fact that the world's going to die in 12 years unless you do what ALC says.
Oh, God. That was so horrible. You want to talk about indoctrination? Think about those poor children that not only are scared to death that something like that is going to happen, which it would never happen and right. couldn't happen.
Yeah, this and the other voice is Josh Bernstein, the guy who wants Second Amendment fanatics to kill cops.
Happen, although if Democrats got in control, anything's possible.
Right.
But the bottom line is these poor kids, you know, that is child abuse. As far as I'm concerned, that is a form of child abuse. To
right.
indoctrinate a child and turn them into a socialist, government-loving drone, and then go...
On the other hand, it's not child abuse to turn children into sad little white-wing talking point parroting automatons like, who's that creepy little just barely 20-year-old who's already been banned for life from trading in securities? Jacob Wohl. No, that's cool.
Well, and send them on a mission to attack a sitting senator like that in her office. These people know no bounds. They will do anything to get attention. They will do anything to gain power. They are dangerous usurpers to our American freedom and way of life, and they need to be stomped out.
Well, I think that there needs to be more active action by Trump and executive orders to put a stop to this, making it illegal to have child representatives go to talk to politicians.
Sure. And of course, it wasn't that long ago that people like Dill Beagle and Josh Bernstein were screaming, "Woo, tyranny! Tyranny's come to the U.S. Ooh, we got a dictator. We got a Kenyan Muslim usurper who's governing by executive order. Ooh, the Constitution's dying. Ooh, I'm dying again."
Make it illegal to have various people like our guy from that continues to ask the immoral and unreasonable questions at the press hearings, you know? I'm not even going to mention his name.
I think he means Jim Acosta, what he means by immoral and illegal questions of the president is fact-based questions that the president can't answer.
Because they don't want to give him any press. But the fact is, when news media go off the ram, trails like they went after the Covington kids and this kid Sandman, that paper needs to be delicensed. And the people that own the paper...
Oh, the paper needs to be delicensed. I didn't know we granted licenses for newspapers to print. You know why? Because we don't. Because First Amendment. License.
The Washington Post need to be majorly fined. They've got a lawsuit against them for $250 million. Guess what? Good going. But they need to also have some physical things. The owner of the paper who's directing it needs to spend some jail time. I don't care if he's a trillionaire or billionaire. He needs to spend some time in a cold, hard steel cell. Maybe
Just because he thinks that, because he wants it. Back before the maggots got the bit in their teeth, we used to have this notion that you had to violate a law before you saw the inside of a cell, or at least be charged with violating a law. But Bill Deagle wants to live in a world where people are simply jailed on the whim of a dictator, as long as it's his kind of dictator. Nobody on our side is talking about this shit. Nobody talks like this. Nobody's talking about putting him in a cell. Okay, maybe a rubber room, but not a cell. The projection from these freaks just won't stop. But they got a real hard on to put their political opponents in prison. It's probably a direct and proximate result of a couple of years, three really, of maggots screaming, "Lock her up."
This week, the president met with the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. He went over there in good faith to try to work peace out on behalf of the American people and the world.
Uh-huh.
And he tried to do it with regard to denuclearizing, that's a tough thing to pronounce, but I got it right, denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula.
Well, at least he was one for two.
While that happened, these evil, despicable, vile, corrupt, dishonest Democrats on Capitol Hill, and, you know, I'm nonpartisan. I've sued George W. Bush.
Evil, vile, despicable, but he's not partisan.
I've sued Dick Cheney. I've sued them all. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or what?
Yeah, he sued them all. He's a sewer.
Color you are, black, white, green, yellow, or gray. I don't care. We're in it for justice. But these Democrats are out to destroy the president, and in doing that, they don't care about the United States. They're destroying the United States. So at the same time that he's meeting with the Korean dictator, they're holding this hearing with this legal and political hack, Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer.
See, this is what's so frustrating. They can't tell the truth. They can't say, you know, Michael Cohen was scheduled to testify on February 7th, long before the president flew off to fuck up in Hanoi. But there were so many threats against his life, it had to be rescheduled. Because that's not convenient for somebody like Larry Klayman.
And they're humiliating him on television. They're laying the foundation for impeachment, which will clearly result in the next few weeks. Then we're going to have a Senate trial to try to destroy everything this president is trying to accomplish. And if you're Kim Jong-un and you're sitting there and you're seeing that the president of the United States is being attacked so viciously, the president admitted yesterday he actually watched some of this stuff.
And Kim Jong-un would just look at him and say, "Ah, President Trump, why don't you just do what me and my buddy Vlad do and have him killed?"
While he's trying to negotiate peace, and who wouldn't? If you're sitting there and you're Kim Jong-un, aren't you saying to yourself, gee, can I make a deal with somebody who might not be around in less than 2 years and probably won't get reelected in 2020? I mean, that's the perspective from North Korea. I'm not saying that Trump isn't going to be reelected, but you don't make a deal where you're agreeing to give up all your nuclear weapons with the president who's having his legs cut out from under him. So this was an act of treason. These people have committed sedition against the United States. They themselves should be impeached. That's where the impeachment should come from. You know, the Republicans who squandered their control of the House of Representatives have no power to impeach anybody. You know, they can go down to Baskin and Robbins and get some peach ice cream, but that's about as far as they're going to go.
Oh, he is a witty one.
Go down to Baskin and Robbins. Did you notice it's Baskin and Robbins like it's a law firm? Last I checked, it was Baskin Robbins, but these people are fucking stupid.
And they could
have called Mitt Romney. This is a terrible situation, and I want to get your feedback because no one's telling it like it is. Typical Fox News, they shade it. I'm listening to Lindsey Graham, head of the Judiciary Committee. Gee, maybe it wasn't quite kosher to do this when the president's overseas.
Kosher. Did you see what he did there? Yeah. Yeah, what's that, Lee? Lee says, ooh, I'm dying again. Bob, I'm just wondering if you can do Humphrey Bogart. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I can, badly. Pardon me, can you spare a dime for a fellow American who's down on his luck? Yeah, here you go, hit the road. Maybe in 2019, Lee says, Trump will have to say that too. Pardon me, it's a great cartoon, it's a great one. You again? So we're halfway done with the program. We'll interrupt the sermon to take a couple of calls. We got $250, 25 people at $10. Hey, 25 new subscribers. That would be so awesome to have one day when one whole broadcast day was just finished by subscribers. That'd mean that we could do a week and a day of Fundraising Free Radio. But we got $250 to go. So hopefully people will join in with Chris and Samson and help us get there. All right, over to the stress line. Let's go. Hey, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Bob? Happy hump day. Wednesday to you. This is me, Ranger from Decatur, Georgia again. Try to keep warm down here. How about you up there in West Virginia?
It's not as bad as it was, but it's still right brisk.
Right. So as you said earlier, do you think that the hard on that the Republicans and the GOP have for Alexandria Cortez is gonna think they're gonna think make her them think that she's gonna actually sleep with them? She already has a boyfriend, in case they didn't know that. You know, she already has a boyfriend, so why would she want to sleep with any of these guys? I mean,
well, I don't even want to go there, no. Reggie. I mean, that's just icky. But that's part of why they hate her, because you see, right wingers, Republicans, maggots, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians. For starters, they've got a misogynistic streak that's about a mile wide. It's wider than the path of that tornado that ripped through southeast Alabama. And so that's all they see women as good for.
Right. And at least she has the guts, you know, to stand up to them, to respond to them, because most of us, meaning the ones in politics, are too... But they're such, shall we say, pussies that they cower to these people. They cower before these people. And they bend over backwards, and then, you know, they bend over backwards for these people. And in some cases, forward, too, to kiss their ass and cower to them. You know, if the Republicans tell them, say anything, they threaten them. If the Republicans threaten them, they just dissipate into thin air, meaning... their backbone dissipates in thin air, meaning they become cowards, Bob. We finally got someone in there who's like 30 years old who stands up to them, who's not going to just vanish without a trace because they want her to, you know. But you're not going to do whatever they say because they say so. You're not going to chuck, jive, buck dance, and cow to them just because they say so. And she's not afraid of them. She's not intimidated by them. She looks at them as most people should look at them as big bullies who are nothing but what, Bob? They're but mere what? Cowards, right? That's what bullies are. That's what most bullies are, right, Bob?
Well, there's in most bullies, there's elements of cowardice, elements of fear, and elements of grief.
Yes. Like I said, she's not like most Democrats in Congress. She's not scared of these people. And she responds only when she has to, or if the situation warrants or is necessary.
Oh, I think she gets a kick out of trolling him, because she was directly trolling. She was directly trolling Jerry Falwell Jr., and he did not get the better of it.
Right, he didn't. But she destroyed him with that tweet, or with those tweets. And I know he probably destroyed himself because he got to him. And him and anybody else who dares to go after her, she's eating their lunch, correct? Well, she's eating their lunch.
They generally don't fare well.
They don't. Like you said, there's one person they can't destroy, just like everybody else. You know?
And they couldn't remove her. They could not remove her from her seat in Congress in the next term, short of just straight up stuffing ballot boxes. Her district likes her. Her district respects her. Her district is excited by her.
Right. Even the, like you said, even the for-profit media can't stand her. Yet they can't. They can't. Shall we say destroy her either? Because she gets to them too. She got in their goat too, Bob. And I'm sure you're laughing at that too, right? You're laughing at her getting their goat, getting the very best of them. I'm talking about the for-profit media, as you would always call them. And some of them can't stand it either. Or is it all of them? But they don't like her either because of her politics. What do you have to say about that, Bob?
Go ahead,
Bob.
It's like the business with Ilhan Omar. They can't stand her either. Because she won't bow and scrape to their their pre-digested talking point driven crap.
Right, she won't kiss their ass or any other body parts, you know, and she won't apologize either, right? They attack.
Hey, Reggie, ask yourself, how much coverage did the slur of her here in West Virginia get covered versus how much coverage there's been of her simple remarks about the effects of money in politics?
Well, none, I think.
That's the answer.
But she got none, zero, zip, nada, zip, none, you know. She got more coverage than that. Well, she got all the coverage than that. That's the only coverage that she has. Because they only cover her and not much else. Like I said, they do that with her, and they did it with Alexandria Cortez and anybody else. Hell, they even did it with Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren and the rest of them. They don't give these people a fair shot and a chance at speaking out for themselves and telling their side of the story. Right, Bob? Or am I wrong on that?
What it boils down to is... there is a contingent out there that screams anti-Semitism if somebody brings them a cold cup of coffee.
Right.
Anti-Semitism. I will speak out all day long and twice on Sundays against anti-Semitism. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that because I despise and denounce attacks on people for who they are. For the accident of birth, that does not also compel in me a need to go bowing and scraping to a psychotic freak like Bibi Netanyahu and his bloodthirsty, warmongering, Likudnik goddamn government.
Right.
There have been governments in Israel that were worthy of my respect. This government is not.
Right. Right.
You know, maintaining Gaza as the world's largest open-air refugee/concentration camp is indefensible. It's utterly indefensible.
Yes, it is. And they were just speaking out. They were speaking truth to power.
And what the people who shriek the most loudly fail to understand is that by making weak arguments, they make any strong... It's just kind of a rule of thumb.
Right.
And how can I put this? Strong arguments speak for themselves.
Yes, they do.
Strong arguments can make weak arguments better. Weak arguments never make strong arguments stronger.
Right.
You know, there is a strong argument to be had that this country is awash
in one of the greatest outpourings of anti-Semitic hate and Nazi filth that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I denounce all of it.
Right.
But when but when people say, "Ooh, she said that it's not right to have loyalty to Israel," that's anti-Semitic. No, it's not. And when she said it's all about the Benjamins, that wasn't, you know, that's a lyric to a goddamn hip hop song, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Right. And they took it all,
she wasn't referring to the ancient tribe of fucking Benjamin.
Well, I wish we could make them understand and believe that. But because, you know, they ran with it, you know. Media ran with it. Talk radio ran with it. Hell, the entire internet ran with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Congress ran with it. Even had Nancy Pelosi go after her for that.
Yeah, but you'll know that you'll note that that 4-page resolution that they were going to ram through was postponed today because a lot of people went to the Democratic leadership and said, "Don't you do this? You're just playing into the GOP's hands. Don't do it."
Right. What do you think about that, Bob? What do you think about Nancy Pelosi attacking AOC? AOC New Green Deal prospect.
I don't think. Where did you get this idea that she attacked it?
Oh well, okay. I will scratch that, Bob. But why would they attack her for her plan? You know, and not why would they listen to her plans for AOC Green Deal prospect? Why don't they listen to her plans before they go after it? Because it sounds like an excellent plan, don't you think, Bob?
Well, no, I don't. You know why?
Oh, you don't. Why?
Because it isn't a plan.
Why? Oh, it's not a plan. That's right.
There's not a single piece of Green New Deal legislation out there for under consideration.
Right.
Not one, Reggie. And, not one.
Right.
Instead, they came up with an aspirational list and offered it as a concurrently introduced resolution in the Senate and the House, and the Republicans have taken it and are beating us over the head with it because they're not interested, Reggie, in what it actually contains. They're interested. They're interested in how they can use it to hurt people, to hurt Democrats. I dare and defy you. Go and find either the House or the Senate version of the Green New Deal resolution, and tell me where in there it says you don't get to ever have a cheeseburger again.
Yeah, who said
I'll wait. We'll sit here and have dead air.
Yeah, who says that except for those idiots? I mean, she's not.
Well, I mean, you've been listening to the program. You've been listening to the program, right?
Right.
How many clips? Jerry Falwell.
Yeah.
And then the next goober, and the next goober.
Yeah.
They're not going to let you fly on airplanes. They're not going to let you have a hamburger. Oh, if that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes near my concubines, I'm going to... There's not... Jesus. And the only person who has effectively called it out was Jay Inslee showing up on The View and absolutely, like I said, taking that ignoramus Meghan McCain to school.
Right. Because she was bitching about this, too. Yelling and screaming and bitching about this, too. I bet you her face turned so super beat red, her hair practically exploded for being told correctly about what, you know, for being checked by this person. Being put in check by this person. And everybody else agreeing with that guest. And I guess she didn't like being checked or being corrected. I'm sure that her face turned super beats red.
That's a good one. Super beats red. Yeah.
Well, her face turned super beats red because she got shut down and checked. I wish they had more guests that would do that to her far way more often. Because, like I said to you before, Every time Joy and Whoopi try to check me, and even Sonny Holston, or even Anna Navarro, she either has a fully overgrown childish tantrum, you know, because she will get in their face or faces if necessary. You know, she would yell and scream at them, even though she's not in charge of the show because it's not her show, and the only person that can check her is Whoopi when she's there, because I don't think Joy doesn't have as much power as Whoopi does. And if she did, Megan would be, she would act like more like an adult than the childish person that she is already, even though she's 34 or 5 years old. You know, I don't like her, you know, I don't like her taking over stuff that she's never been there for until like 2 years ago. I mean, it's not her show. She should let other people speak when they have opinion. I mean, it's a 5-panel show, but, you know, she should let everybody speak. You know, she has opinions, too, but there's a time to talk, and then there's a time to listen. Right, Bob? She has the talking part down pat, but not the listening part. Right, Bob? Like most of these conservatives, they have the talking part, but not the listening part, Bob. Right?
Well, I mean,
you know, they like to talk, but they don't like to listen. You know, they love to talk, but they don't want to listen, right? Or to listen to reason, at least. Right, Bob? Yeah, go ahead, Bob. No, she doesn't like to listen. You know, she doesn't like to listen. She thinks it's her show, though. As I said, when she's there, the only person that can put her and keep her in check is Whoopi Goldberg, because Joy can't seem to do it. Because if she tries to do it, they get into it, and even her and Sonny get into it. And I know that her and Anna Navarro get into it, too, right? Because, you know, she's barking up the wrong tree when it comes to those three people, when it comes to those four women. You know, are they tone deaf, you know?
No, they've just got an agenda, and they're going to push it regardless of what right and wrong don't matter. Okay, it doesn't.
Right. Well, when you're born wealthy like she is, I guess, like you said, there are two sets of rules: rules that we have to follow, and rules that they don't.
And Pam, I just got a note from Pam in the Great Northwest. She says, "I read the Green New Deal, and the words cow, yes, neither the words cow nor methane appear anywhere in it."
Right.
So, as usual, yeah, you know, we got a saying, yeah, all over the South, Appalachia. You know, the truth ain't in them.
No, it ain't.
They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in an honest debate. The reason they're behaving right this way is because they are hopelessly, entirely devoted to the money that flows through their sewers from the hydrocarbon extraction industry, whether it be coal, oil, or gas, Reggie.
Right. So as long as those things are still existing, or still in existence, they can still get filthy rich off of them. You know what I mean? They can still make their moolah. And if you try to stop their cash flow...
Moolah. Wait a minute. Moolah. I got it. I see what you did,
Reggie,
there.
Yeah.
Hey, Reggie, I'm going to run along, but, man, it's always a good conversation. You stay warm down there. Spring's going to get to you before it gets to me.
Yeah, well, you stay warm up there too, Bob. Oh, and did you watch the GOP thing, the convention? And when is the Democrats going to have their convention?
Oh, what, CPAC?
The
closest we get is Netroots Nation, and it can't even begin to compare with CPAC because, Netroots Nation has sane people in it, whereas CPAC is it. CPAC's like, a Jonestown gathering. It's a cult, okay? Right. Anyway, right, you take care of yourself, right, Reggie. Have a good night, man.
You do too, Bob. I'll see you. I'll call you again tomorrow, man.
All right, later. Bye now. Bye. That's our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. But not a lot of time left in this second hour of the program, but if you do want to get involved, the stress line is open. 844-843-4676. Oh, and a technical program note. I had a note from Brother Deacon Asa. We've got a new tune-in location. The head-on live stream, which is almost always stable, it's been solid all evening, for instance, tonight. If you go to headon.live, you know, you can get the stream there. But if you look for The Horn, capital T, little H, little E, capital H, capital O, capital R, capital N, in the TuneIn app, and then look for the typical Horn logo, you know the one, that one is rock solid and stays stable almost nonstop, or, as you know, to the extent that we can make it that way. So that's there for you. Just to put a little bit of clarity to the whole Ilhan Omar thing, I think this is helpful. Now, they're out there shrieking, the right wing and some Democrats, that Ilhan Omar is an anti-Semite because she criticizes Israel and particularly the way that Israel treats Palestinians. Well, let's just back up and take a few things into consideration. The President of the United States has said that neo-Nazis are very fine people. He's retweeted them too, neo-Nazis. He told a group of Jewish Americans that Israel was their country, not the United States. There's no end of the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that he's tweeted. He even tweeted a picture of Hillary Clinton inside a Star of David and sitting next to a stack of money. There was a Trump campaign ad that attacked three Jewish people who were wealthy non-supporters of him. Back years ago, talking about his alleged wealth, he said that he only wanted short guys that wear yarmulkes to count his money. And of course, we all know that in deposition for their divorce, Ivana Trump said that he kept a copy of Hitler's speeches on his bedside table, although it's anybody's bet whether he could read. At no point in time did any Congress ever offer a resolution condemning that. How about Seb Gorka? He brought him into the administration, and he used to walk around, maybe he still does, with a medal from a Nazi group in Hungary, wearing it. Or how about Steve Bannon? Steve Bannon said he didn't want his daughters going to this one school in L.A. because of, and this is a quote, the number of Jews. I could go on like this all night. There's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, who used the term New York values as a dog whistle for Jews while he was campaigning. And then there's the entire George Soros conspiracy theory that has actually driven people to acts of murder and attempted murder. And how about, oh, Jim Shorts Jordan. He wrote Tom Steyer, by the way, Tom Steyer's Jewish. In a tweet, he wrote Tom Steyer's name, instead of a capital S in Steyer, S-T-E-Y-E-R, he used dollar sign T-E-Y-E-R.
thereby replicating the age-old malicious trope that Jews care nothing about money and Jews control the money and yada, 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 yada. It's a libel. It's a blood libel. That's what that's called. And, of course, for years, Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, has talked about at great length about, my friends, the Jewish lobby controls the United States of America. Do you know how many resolutions condemning anti-Semitism have been directed at Rush Limbaugh, or at Fox, or at Jim Jordan? Zero. Exactly damn zero. I don't agree with unwavering support for Israel. Because as an American, I don't unwaveringly support my government, my own government. When my government fucks up, I call out my government. When my president is a piece of criminal trash, I say the president is a piece of criminal trash. Now, why would I treat a foreign country, be it Israel, Romania, Botswana, or Bolivia, in a way inconsistent with how I deal with my own government? Let there be no mistake. I am wholeheartedly in support of Israel's right to exist. But that right is modified by an adverb, Israel's right to peaceably exist. And right now, any idea of a two-state solution is in the crapper because it's been given up on, and it was given up on by George W. Bush, and it was given up on by Julius Geiser. In the middle, you had an attempt by Barack Obama to push for a two-state solution, albeit tepidly. And for his trouble, screaming Israeli youths in the streets called him a shvatza. And in Yiddish, that carries the same freight as a certain word that begins with N here in the United States. So I just feel like I need to be clear about that. Sauce for the goose, as they say, is sauce for the gander. If they want to condemn Ilhan Omar, well, let's get a twofer and condemn Steve King and Jim Shorts Jordan while we're at it. Otherwise, shut up. Okay? Yeah. Just checking real. Okay, we're still connected to the Bluetooth over on the stress line. It's open, 844-843-4676. And with 250 to go to get even with the evening, let's check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, just trying to hold it together. Keep it together.
So I was listening. I guess I was going to ask you, did you read that article that I sent you? And I guess you did.
I did.
Because, I mean, it's a great article.
Yeah, and it exposes the hypocrisy of the whole Ilhan Omar kerfuffle to a T.
Yeah, because when I saw it, I'm like, ooh. I mean, and like the guy said, don't, you know, regardless of how you feel about what she said or what have you, again, you're going to go after her because she's speaking out against the way Israel is treating the Palestinians. But you don't, you know, and from what I heard Florida said, I don't hear anything anti-Semitic about it. She's just speaking out against the government, not Israel.
I mean, would we have to condemn her if she said, for instance, that we can't make any progress on climate change in this country because there's because of the influence of the oil industry on government, oil industry money?
Right.
I mean, I got the code. I know what the dog whistles sound like. And she wasn't dog whistling.
No.
I mean, because like I said, Tracy, I've also got enough of a, I mean, it's getting pretty thin at my age, but I do remember it's all about the Benjamins. Benjamin Franklin, $100 bills, money in politics.
$100 bill, y'all. And because of the money in politics, things will not get done.
I mean, I remember when old Snakehead, I think it was old Snakehead, Jim Carville. I remember back, God, was it really 20 plus? Was it really 20 years ago, 20 years and more? Yes, it was. But I remember, I think it was Carville who said, it's amazing what you can find when you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park in Arkansas.
I don't remember him saying it specifically, but I remember you saying it, and I'm like, ooh.
And of course, the Republicans had a baby because they are constantly butthurt about everything.
Everything. Everything. I was watching the other day, I taped it a while ago, I guess it was 2020 or ABC special, the whole thing about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. And granted, when all this was going down, I didn't pay much attention to it because brand new, you know, I was a single mom with a toddler. I don't really think I really care. Other than the saying, he just got a blowjob. You know, I didn't watch the hearings or anything like that. I didn't pay attention to it because, again, it was just a blowjob. But I was watching this thing, and I'm going, this was horrible. I mean, Linda Tripp,
she recorded Monica Lewinsky and asked her leading questions about how horrible that horrible Bill Clinton was.
Right. And I was like, I mean, they really, you know, his whole presidency was disgraced. You know, I mean, that's what everybody's going to remember him by was, you know, the whole Monica, you know, cigars and you know, blue dresses.
Yeah, and remember Precious Lindsey Graham was there back then, too.
Oh.
And he said, impeachment is not about punishment. Impeachment is about cleansing the presidency.
And that's what I'm thinking about because I'm watching all this and how the Republicans were going on and on about impeachment. I mean, they did impeach him. He just didn't, you know, nothing came of it. But, and I'm just watching this going, you're losing your fucking mind over a blowjob. He didn't commit treason. I mean, yes, he did perjure himself, but did he sell his country out to a foreign government? Did he make, you know, money? Was he making money as a result of his presidency from other countries and trademarks and patent or whatever the fuck? And, you know, was he crazy? Was he mentally ill? Was he a liar? Okay, yeah, he lied. You know what I'm saying? Did he tell, like, you know, over the course of his presidency, you know, and how many lies are we up to now for Julius Caesar? Like in the thousands?
We're getting close to 10,000.
Did he go to, you know, CPAC and ramble, do a 2.5 hour rambling speech? You know, all these, you know, did he go to Vietnam to get his ass handed to him? You know, all these things that he is doing, did he shut down the government out of spite because nobody's going to forgive him his fucking wall? I mean, and when I'm watching this and I'm going, and comparing to what, you know, and how they were losing their minds, but nobody is saying anything about this fool that's president now. I sat there the whole time. It was a 2 hour episode. And I'm sitting there going, wow. And then fucking Ken Starr, I mean, because he was going, you know, these people have had a hard on for the Clinton since Jump Street. And granted, remember, no big fan of the Clintons. So, you know, it's not like, oh, poor Bill and poor Hillary. I, you know, there's no love lost between me and them. It's not like I really care. But again, how is it that these same people, like you said, Lindsey Graham and who else was a senator back then?
He was in the House.
That's right. He was out. That's right. He was in, like you said, the House of Representatives.
And so there was Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas was a big one.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. And I'm thinking.
But I don't know. I don't know if you caught the news today, Tracy. But according to a report in The Hill, freshman Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. I've got the. I think I may have the audio here. Yeah, I do. Let's see if we can get it to play. I'd rather have her voice than mine.
That it's too soon to call for impeachment. Are they not moving fast enough, and why are you acting now?
I think there's a sense of urgency from so many of my residents and so many of these incredible advocates that many, really, this last election was a calling. I mean, we saw record turnout in an election year where people wanted to elect the jury that would begin the impeachment proceedings to Donald Trump. It was very clear from all the folks that I spoke to from the beginning. It's like, we want to be able to work on these economic justice issues, racial justice issues and everything, but guess what? There is a wall there and a constitutional crisis that is not going to be able to have us be able to do our jobs as American Congress members to push a lot of these agendas forward. I think it's really important to understand, you know, I'm here. There is a sense of urgency on my part and many of us. This is not to say that we disagree. I think every single colleague of mine agrees there is impeachable offenses. That's one thing that we all agree on. We may disagree on the pace. We may disagree that we have to wait for certain hearings. But at the same time, I think they all know the dangers of allowing President Trump to continue to violate our United States Constitution.
Has House leadership spoken to you about the warnings that they think, listen, if you guys start talking about impeachment a little too early on, it could fire up that Republican, that Trump base, and maybe even come out stronger for him in the next election? Have they talked to you about that?
When I speak to leadership, they constantly remind me I have to represent my district. Mm-hmm. And they know the diversity of all of our districts and how we approach certain issues, and the fact that we have different styles of how do we approach different issues. This is the largest class since Watergate. This is a class, a diverse class, that comes again with this sense of urgency to act to hold corporations accountable, to act in holding President Trump accountable, to act to really try to see real reforms within our congressional process. And so there's a sense, again, this is an emergency for many of us. I mean, we cannot allow the pay-to-play to continue. We can't allow this complete direct violation of the Emoluments Clause. Anybody else would already be in impeachment proceedings. Mm-hmm. Let's just imagine and close.
Seems pretty clear to me. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty clear.
So apparently by the end of the month, she's going to introduce her own articles of impeachment.
And she has every right to.
She absolutely does.
Because she's paying attention.
because you know, people can, you know, bury their heads in the. She said, and this is what she. I mean, this is what I'm getting from what she said. She's like, people are worried. We came here to do a job. We can't do our job because the president is a fuck up. He's crazy. He's unstable. He's a mental midget. I mean,
no offense to midgets or little people.
No, and you know, no offense to, you know, little people or, you know, because I, you know, how dare I? That's terrible. But it's just he's incompetent. There was an article in The Root today about him and about, you know, this, you know, how during, you know, when he was just, you know, Donald Trump private citizen, when he was going on and on about wanting to see Barack Obama's transcripts because, you know, he was not a good student because, you know, black. And so, excuse me. But then you have people going like Michael Cohen going out to his school to make sure that his records aren't released and his SAT scores aren't released.
I really would love to see his ACT or his SAT.
Because here's the thing. You said, you keep saying you're brilliant. You keep saying you're rich.
I've got a very big brain. I've got a very good brain. Of course, I went to the Ivy League. I went to the Ivy League slow in the driveway.
Mm-hmm. So if you're so, so smart and so brilliant, then why don't you release your transcripts?
You'd think you'd be proud of them.
Because I know my transcripts are pretty good when I, you know, got through the classes. You know, I actually made the dean's list a couple of times when I was in school. Now, if it was me, and, you know, especially, you know, not that I have to prove myself to anybody, but I'm like, if I'm going to tell people that I'm pretty smart, then, you know, it's not that I would have to back it up, but I'm a black woman, so of course I'm going to back it up.
Got to bring the receipts.
Here are my transcripts. I got to bring the receipts. You know, so here's my transcripts to show that I've made a dean list maybe 3 or 4 times. And that's no easy thing to do. So, you know, if he's as smart and, you know, head of his class, first in his class at Wharton and all that, then let's see it. You know, and if you're as rich as you say you are, then why can't we see your tax return?
Because he's a cheat. But see, they're about to get him, and they're going to get 10 years of him. And he is shitting kittens with crocheted tails right now.
You know, it just, again, the things that people who are, you know, male and white in this country, failing upwards. I mean, nowhere but in this country could a person like Donald Trump become president.
Well, I mean, Bolsonaro did just become president in Brazil.
That's true, too. Okay. But
and Duterte became president in the Philippines.
Okay, but still, they are both of them are men, right?
Well, yeah. And if the United States gets its way, we'll put some bloodthirsty, money grubbing, boot licking freak in by way of so called regime change in Venezuela.
Venezuela. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just. But in this country, it is just amazing because, you know, like the other day when I sent you the clips from the Washington Correspondents' Dinner when, you know, Obama was doing the speeches. And, you know, I watch him and I listen to him and I just like the reason why Donald Trump didn't go to the Correspondents' Dinner. It's because he would have to go up there and talk and speak like every other president has.
And he would have to try to be funny and he would flatter than piss on a plate.
Exactly. It's like he wouldn't be able to do it. Even W did it, which, you know, the thing is, he wasn't afraid to make fun of himself.
Yeah, I remember that real laugh riot when he was looking for the weapons of mass destruction under the couch, and yeah.
Right, you know, but the thing is, the thing is about George W. Bush, I think he knew that he was an idiot, and he was just lucky, you know, that his father was who his father was. And if it hadn't been for his father, he would be living in a trailer park with a whole lot of other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw some wag remarking on social media, Republicans are having a fit because there were pictures of 20-year-old, was it Sasha Obama, drinking rosé wine?
Ooh.
And then
Bush daughters, how many times?
Well, the white wing just had babies. And whoever it was said, they were shocked and disgusted by that. Wait till I tell them about the son of the president who started a war that got a million innocent civilians killed.
Right. Because he said, he's going to kill my daddy. But, you know, you're upset because, you know, a 20-year-old is drinking rosé. Wow. Isn't she in college? Isn't that what they do?
Last I checked, and sometimes they go on, like, trips to Florida, and they do really wacky things, like drink wine
or
underage.
Or Cancun, or, you know, a Cabo and stuff like that. That's what they do. That's what college-age kids do. It's not like this is the first time in the history of the country that this has happened. It's the double standard. Oh, speaking of, we're not double standards. So I've been on this 2020 kick. So the other night I watched, and I don't even know how I didn't remember. I don't even remember hearing about this guy. The guy in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the Uber driver that killed. This happened in like February of 2016. He killed six people and shot and injured two more. And he had all these guns and stuff. But I don't even think anybody caught this. But he went up, one of the women or persons that he went up to or talked to, he said to them, now this is, like I said, February 2016, I need a dollar so I can help make America great again. And I don't even think that anybody that, you know, I don't know if they just didn't catch it or what have you. And I rewound it and I'm like, did he just say to make America great again? And, you know, this is before the election. This is, you know, February 2016. But that was part, you know, and I'm just thinking, oh, my God, did no one catch this? And then they were talking about how he had like all these, like 15 guns. And what, you know, again, I have, you know, if you own a gun, if you're a responsible gun owner, you know, go for it. But when people say, well, I don't understand why, you know, people think somebody having 15 guns is a problem. Bob, why does anybody need 15 guns?
Well, okay, this isn't by way of an excuse, but let me try to offer a little bit of insight, Tracy, into, say, the redneck mindset.
But he was in Michigan. Okay, I guess you can't.
Oh, no, they're up there. Please, just because they talk funnier than I do, you know, no. There's some serious redneckery in Michigan. But for starters, and I'm excluding pistols from this, okay? You do not go deer hunting with a .22 rifle unless you're an absolute crack shot. So you've got a .270 or a .30-06, something like that. That's your deer rifle. And then you've got maybe a 12-gauge for turkey season. And maybe a .410 or a 16-gauge or a 20-gauge for squirrel season. And maybe you've got a side-by-side double-barreled for wing shooting, like pheasants. And then you've got maybe a .223 for, and we're talking about living out in the country, okay?
Right.
For varmints, groundhogs, coyotes, things like that.
These are real things that happen in that go down in rural America. Okay.
Okay, I get that in rural America. Okay, what do you need for them if you live in the city?
Nothing. Now maybe now if you're sufficiently wealthy, you live in the city, but you go out. You've got a buddy who's got a lease of a few hundred acres, and you go out and deer hunt there. So, or squirrel hunt, or rabbit hunt, or whatever. So again, the same thing applies. But the other part of that equation is that in a place like this, guns are liquid assets. If you've got a bunch of guns in your house, given the way that the gun laws are here, and by here I mean the United States, if you get hard up for money, you can get money almost instantaneously for your guns.
Wasn't there a chapter in Rainbow Pie when his grandfather's or his dad sold his dad's gun because they were broke and they needed the money?
Yes. And the thing is, if that's the case, you need the money, you can have the money an hour later. You can have the money faster than if you've got a Rolex. Because a pawn shop knows they're going to turn that gun over in a minute. Who knows when somebody's going to come in and want a damn Rolex?
That Rolex, but a gun? Shit, yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you've gotten around to deer hunting with Jesus yet.
Not yet, no.
That was Joe's real big breakout book, Joe Bagent. He's got a chapter in there about guns that will piss off every liberal and progressive in the United States of America. And I'm about as anti-gun as one human being can be. I wish we did not live in the world we live in. I mean, I found that chapter in Deer Hunting with Jesus troubling. But part of the reason it was troubling, yeah, Tracy, is because it's real and it's true.
And this was written, how many years ago did he write that book?
Oh, God. I can't even remember how long Joe's been gone, but it's the early aughts.
Because that was before, he wrote that before Rainbow Pie, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, he was essaying along at his website, just putting up his thoughts as, you know, as they came to him.
Speaking of books, I started the book about the woman in Detroit.
Oh, yeah?
The Numbers Runner. It's pretty damn good.
Oh, cool.
Especially, I can't wait for you to read it if you get a chance. But she talks about how her mom bought her house and, you know, about how, you know, black people back then couldn't get an FHA loan. And they had to do that. You read The Case for Reparations, right?
Yeah.
By Ta-Nehisi Coates. Well, remember the older gentleman that in the article that, you know, how he had to buy his house through these brokers that, you know, buy the houses for a dollar, and, you know, because black people couldn't get, you know, it didn't matter how much money they
yeah,
made.
It's, and it's through a through a straw party. Yeah.
Right. So basically that's how she had to buy her house. And just, you know, the things that people had to do, you know, to own their own home. And the worst part about these, it's not like you actually own the home. It was like, you know, you were basically renting without the benefits of being a renter because, you know, you still, if something broke, you had to fix it. But you got, you know, you're paying this money, but you got no equity in the home.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Not to create any sort of a false equivalence, it still happens in West Virginia and in Appalachian more broadly. The general term for them is land contract.
Okay.
It's basically someone who owns a place, self-financing it, and you make the payments every month. And if you ever miss a payment, well, you make the payments every month long enough, and you own the house. You've fulfilled the contract.
Right.
But if you miss a payment, you can be evicted, and you had no equity. You're gone. You're
no
just
equity,
gone.
You're gone. You're just gone. But
just reading what she went, you know, like I said, oh, this is a great book. It really, really is. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. But it's just, you know, oh, did you get a package today?
I thought that was you. And I'm working up my courage. You really just want to watch me die on video, don't you, Tracy? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking it's got to be for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because
for every box that's sold, $5 goes to research for prostate cancer.
And you know, as a guy, I'm like, cool. But now apparently, I have to shoot a video of myself eating a Ghirardelli-sized square of chocolate that has been deliberately poisoned with a shit ton of Black Reaper pepper. Thanks for the sour persimmons, sister. What are you trying? Are you trying to cure me of my habit? Is that it?
No, but when I saw it, I said I had to get it for you. I had to.
And see, this is the sad part. I love dark chocolate with chili in it.
I know you do. Bob, how long have we been talking?
I mean, I buy that shit at the grocery store. Who is it? I can't remember the maker. But it's dark chocolate with chili pepper in it, and it's got a nice little fire to it, and you go, ooh, tingles. And that's the and in point of fact, that's the way that the ancient people who first discovered chocolate liked it. Because it was dark, and it was bitter, and it was offset with the heat and the fruit of the chili, and you go, wow.
Years ago, I for Christmas, I got my Martha Stewart on. This is before, Kimber, go away. This is before I, okay, kisses. Go ahead. Okay.
Oh, Kimber's okay, a good mommy, baby.
Okay, mommy loves you. Mommy loves you. Okay, sit. Mommy on the phone. So one year for Christmas, I got my, I don't know why, but I got my Martha Stewart on. And for my mom and my siblings, I made homemade cocoa mix. So this is before I knew you, because had I known you back then, you would have gotten a 10 too. I made so it had cocoa and espresso and vanilla sugar and a hint of cayenne pepper. And
that's the way to go.
I made peanut brittle. I made homemade peanut brittle. And so I did the you know, got it, cute little tins and put the hot cocoa mix in it and cute little tins for the peanut brittle. And yeah, I did that once and I never did it again. I'm like, okay, it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I'm like, I can't do this every year, but it was fun. I mean, and everybody loved it, especially mixed with hot cocoa with the Baileys and a little hit, like you said, a little bit of the heat. It was really, I really enjoyed it. But, you know, but when I saw that, I don't even know how I wound up on that site. Oh, I think there was a link on some article I was reading, and there was a video of somebody, a former NBA player doing, you know, how they have the commentary during games or after the games or whatever. And he ate the chocolate for the challenge. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then I, you know, went onto the website, you know, for Fuego Box. And I'm like, oh, when you get a chance, have you seen their website?
No.
You check out their website?
I haven't yet.
They have, oh, my God, you would die because of the different hot, you know. And I'm mad at myself because I didn't even think about sending you some other hot sauce when I did the shipment, because they have like boxes of different, you know, different boxes of hot sauce. And come to find out, the store is here in L.A. They actually have a brick and mortar store here.
Oh, how
in LA.
Cool.
So maybe one day, but they have like, you know, hot sauces.
The Fuego Spice Company.
Yes.
And it's got this red dot on the top of the box that says, warning, extremely spicy. And see, I got over here on my other screen, I've got Asa, who says, we got to make the fall curry happen, too. I'll cook along with you. So as soon as we see a warm, sunny day, I'm getting the stuff together to make the fall curry that Suman recommended. And we're going to have me and John Bridevo and Asa and Suman. Suman's just going to be sitting back and enjoying life and drinking scotch, watching us suffer. But we're gonna get with it, and I got to pick a time to do this too.
Oh, you have to, because I know how you know you love chocolate, and I know how you love spicy, and I'm like, you know, I don't even I think is it ghost pepper that they make it with?
No, it's the Black Reaper, and I know how evil that is. Because a long time ago, Jay Cruzen sent us a bottle of Pucker Butt Reaper sauce.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kim. I scared
you. And, I mean, you use that stuff. It's like you take the sharp end of a straight pin, not the head of the pin, the sharp end of a straight pin. You get one dot of it, and, like, you put it in the middle, like, you know, on a cheese and cracker, and that one tiny, almost microscopic dot, like, you know, the way you do a single tiny teensy drop of pure liquid LSD, that kind of small, and it will blaze your mouth up. And see, the rules for this say that I have to stick the whole damn Ghirardelli square in my mouth. And yeah, I'm not a gobbler, I'm a nibbler.
Okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be.
No, you know, we'll be outside. I'll have a big ice cold glass of buttermilk standing by, and we'll title it Watch the Hillbilly Suffer, you know.
Because water makes it worse, so you have to have some. No,
it's fat soluble, so what you want is full fat buttermilk, because the acid and the fat. That's why like plain yogurt works better to put the fire out than just a glass of milk does. It's the acid and the fat.
Oh, God. I mean,
but I knew as soon as Tracy's behind this. And considering how hot this shit is, what do they think it's going to do to my fucking prostate? I may not sit down for a month of Sundays.
If they like your video, I think you get free hot sauce for a year.
At that point in time, that'll be overkill.
I shouldn't be laughing so hard.
Oh, no, no. You're. I know what you used to do for a living. You're getting a kick out of this.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but this is, I've had a day, so this is, you know, I mean.
And we got to step back from the madness.
We have to. I mean, between this, you know, the fake sanctions and, you know, the whole R. Kelly debacle on, you know, was that today or yesterday? And just,
that was the damned, you know, I mean, I'm trying to. Not because I have any sympathy for him, I don't. But I'm just trying to stay away from that.
Oh yeah, I mean.
But that was another one of those. That's the damnedest thing I've seen in a little while.
Mm-hmm. And but you got it because I didn't watch it either because I'm like I'm not.
Oh no, you know, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I got to get up and stomp around the room part and
Gayle King was unflappable. I mean, she just like.
Wait a minute! Didn't she bust out all third grade teacher at one point and say, "Now, Robert"?
Robert said, "I think she did say, "Now, Robert, sit down" or something like that.
What he reminded me of, because I'm such a freaking nerd, Tracy.
you are, so we still love you.
Well, I saw that, and I was immediately transported. It was like I was watching Shakespeare. Now, there's a part.
Tell me why, because I know nothing about really about Shakespeare.
There's a part in Hamlet, you know, where he's gonna use the play to catch the conscience of the king. So they're putting on this play, and it's gonna expose the king for the murderer that he is. Because remember, Hamlet's a murder mystery.
Know nothing about Shakespeare because didn't care, but you know.
And so Hamlet pulls these, and they're just traveling players, so they're probably not very good actors to begin with. And it's a very famous passage. And R. Kelly would do well to read this. Because Hamlet, looking at the player, says, "Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as many of our players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. Nor do not saw the air too much with your hand, thus, by you saw gently, for in the very torrent, tempest, and as I may say, whirlwind of your passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise. I'd have such a fellow whipped for overdoing termagant. It out Herod's Herod. Pray you avoid it. Be not too tame, neither, but let your own discretion be your tutor. Suit the action to the word, and the word to the action, with this special observance that you overstep not the modesty of nature. For anything so overdone is from the purpose of playing, whose end both at the first and now was and is to hold, as 'twere, the mirror up to nature to show virtue her own feature, scorn her own image, and the very age and body of the time his form and pressure. Now this overdone, or come tardy off, though it make the unskillful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve, the censure of the which one must find, one must, in your allowance, overweigh a whole theater of others." And so he's, in other words, if R. Kelly had read that, he wouldn't have done that. Because that...
As my grandmother used to say, he just got up on national television and showed his ass.
And at the end of it, he says, "That's villainous, and shows a most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it." Because, see, it was supposed to look all spontaneous, and he just couldn't stand it anymore. And he, nobody, you know, he was selling, but nobody was buying.
No one.
It was
a straight up act, and there's back to the root. And one of the things that I think it was Damon Young who, and he broke it down about how R. Kelly, Brett Kavanaugh, Meadows, all these people, you know, that crying, you know, when people call you out on your shit, and what do? You start crying, you start yelling, you start, you know. How dare you say these things about, you know, me, you know, like with, you know, Kevin, you know, anybody that knows anything about liars, you know, they are going to, you know, if somebody calls you out on something that you do, and you know you're lying, and you know you've gotten caught, what do? You try to loud talk somebody. You try to overtalk them. You like, you know, you start playing the victim. You start saying, how could you say something as horrible about me as that and all that? And, you know, so you could, turn the, you know, the opinion or the people's opinions about you and say, oh, my God, maybe I was wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe he's just misunderstood and all that. But anybody with any sense knows, like with Brett Kavanaugh, you know, you look at his testimony.
There. Yes, R. Kelly and Brett Kavanaugh, twin sons, different mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the same principle, the overwrought grief. And there it is in the Hamlet speech, sawing the air.
Mm-hmm.
and railing,
you know,
and splitting the ears of the people around him.
Oh, it was just, you know, it was just like I said, I refuse to watch it. I refuse to give any more, you know, like I said, you know, if you watch, you know, local news or whatever, or, you know, you know, you're subjected to, you know, clips from various news stories and stuff like that. So, you know, you have to watch. And then, of course, if you're on the internet, as you know, these things are going to pop up. And since I'm constantly on the Roots website, you know, so, and specifically when I do go to the Root, you know, just to get the black take on, you know, current news and, you know,
there's some, there are some, I mean, damn good writing going on over there. And mm-hmm. some seriously funny shit too.
Oh, I mean, that's why I love reading the, you know, this, you know, it's serious, but then they, you know, they put the black spin on it, and it's like, because, you know, laughter has been the way that people, and mostly black people, have dealt with the pain of just living black in this country. You know, how to deal with the racism, how to deal with the sexism, and how to, you know, and we have to, you know, in order for us not to go around killing people, we have to laugh about stuff, because, you know, if we don't laugh about it, then we're going to be crying or, again, serving jail time. And I'm not about to catch a case, you know, because, you know, we got the three strikes thing, and since I already got a felony, so I'm going to try to back off and not get in two more, because I really don't want to go to jail for the rest of my life, you know. And like I said, orange does not look good on me, you know, and so I don't want to go there. So like I said, that's why a lot of people are still vertical and not horizontal, because I'm like, I'm not going to jail. I have enough restraint. As mad as I have gotten,
you know, that's what Donald Trump keeps telling himself, Tracy. I'm not going to jail. I'm not going. And in fact, I guess this evening over on MSNBC, they had Donnie Deutsch on to talk about it. And there he is, you know, catching up with me from 5 or 6 years ago. You know, when I coined the term Cold Civil War. And it's creepy. It's scary to contemplate, because we go back to the people with all the guns. And what he told Chris Matthews is, we will not have a peaceful transition. Donald Trump, I believe, whether he's going to be impeached, whether they're disqualifying him for running for office, even if he gets elected, he will tell his people to take to the streets. I know that sounds extreme. That's who this man is. Does that give you the chills?
It's just like, I think we talked about this. Somebody that we talked about, you know, oh, that's what with Cohen, when he was saying he doesn't, you know, feel that, you know, if this man loses in 2020, that there will be a peaceful transition of power. If that doesn't make, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck rise up, I don't know what is. Oh, by the way, R. Kelly got arrested again.
Today?
Today, because...
Oh, the unpaid child support?
Black child support. Mm-hmm. 161,663 in back child support.
And also from the department of, by the way, I think we have a clip to run that should have actually run on Monday.
On Moran Monday?
Yeah, you and I do.
Oh, okay.
Again, mining the nearly bottomless pit of crazy from CPAC.
Is this about, are you about to say Silk and Diamond?
Diamond and Silk. I don't know which one's which.
Diamond and Silk. I don't know. Coon and Coonette.
I can't do that. Now quit that. You're going to get me in trouble.
I said it. Again, he did not say it. I did. Y'all could tell the difference between my voice and his.
But I did listen to it, and it's like, I feel like... I feel like I've been drinking.
You listen to the whole clip. I got maybe into like 3 seconds of it, and I'm like, I'm done.
Oh, no, I stayed with it because, well.
Ooh, you're better than me.
Because it's my job.
Mm.
Where'd it go?
It's on. I sent it to you on your, look on your.
It was on Messenger, wasn't it?
Messenger. Yeah, Messenger feed.
I'm looking for it now.
Didn't I send it to you on your Messenger feed? Oh, I did. I'm looking at. Okay, that's ridiculous. I thought I sent it to you because. No, I sent it to you on Twitter.
Okay, stand by then. Because I have Twitter up here, too. Was that in a message? Yes.
Yeah, it was a direct
message. Yes, yeah, because there it is. Because I asked, is the woman on the right her hype man? I'm just trying to understand the whole genre here. You'll understand when we run the clip. I don't know which one's diamond and which one's silk, but they're both just shameless.
I don't care.
Shameless lickspittles getting paid for Trump, but somehow or another they wrangled an invite to CPAC, and when they walked on stage, I'll bet you that room full of white people gasped. By the way, guess who's out of a job?
That's Jesse L. Peterson.
No, we haven't heard from Jesse in a while. But former darling of the maggots everywhere, former Milwaukee Sheriff David Clarkey got dumped by Fox and got dumped by the political action committee or whatever. I mean, and it was just and so now now he's just out in the wilderness barking at Fox News and trying to get himself a gig at One America News, which is, you know, One America News now is for the maggots who think that that Fox is too pissy and liberal. By the way, you got fan mail from Les. Tracy's laugh is everything. And Bob, don't eat that chocolate unless you have room and vehicle clearance in your backyard to land the medevac helicopter. You want to know what you started? So Les is telling me don't. I just had somebody write in, I'm not going to give away names, who said, Bob, I will do a have a show on me if you don't eat that. Because, I mean, I know that Reaper shit is evil.
I mean, you don't have to eat it, but I just, when I saw it.
Well, see, I just want to, like I said, I'm a nibbler, not a gobbler.
So you don't have to do the challenge. This, you know, if you, like, because I didn't realize you had to eat the whole square one time.
I mean, you know how you can buy those Ghirardelli squares in the bag at the grocery store? It's the same.
I have no idea how big it is.
It's about an inch and a half by an inch and a half.
Okay, inch and a half.
About the same. It's a little bit larger than a Ghirardelli square, or a Ghirardelli. I'm sorry. I'm going to get hate mail from San Francisco.
Get over it.
And even listen to you. Yeah, the Angelino says San Franciscans can just get over it. Okay. I'm weird. I get one of those squares, and I break it up into about 4 or 5 pieces. And maybe it's because I was raised by Depression-era parents. But
look, I was just having a conversation about, you know, growing up broke. And, you know, we knew it was bad when we had to break out the powdered milk.
I hated that shit. I mean, like, the powdered buttermilk is great for cooking. You can cook with powdered milk. But to just sit there and mix yourself up a glass of it, oh, fuck no.
And have to try to eat it over some Cheerios.
No, I mean, and even if it's like cornflakes and you're throwing the sugar to it, the sugar doesn't. No.
I mean, you know, my mother would make it. We would, you know, she put it in, you know, put it in the refrigerator so it would be nice and cold. And, you know, let me see, you know, there's those level, you know, like I wasn't raised by, you know, but my mother, I'm trying to think, was my grandmother raised? But then again, like, I think I told you, my pastor, who was raised during the Depression, was like, the Depression was nothing for black people. It was just every day. You know, black people had to show white people how to hang. You know? So that was, you know, the Depression for black people was just, you know, a day that ended in Y. It was just, that was just an everyday kind of a thing.
And see, when you got the commodity groceries, it was literally a mixed bag, because as we've discussed before, the cheese and the peanut butter were fan fucking tastic.
Oh man, the cheese.
The powdered milk was horrible. I mean, we've even got a hillbilly joke we tell on ourselves. Why can't you take a group picture of West Virginians? Because every time the photographer says cheese, we form a single line.
Oh, but that doesn't. I mean, we got cheese, we got peanut butter, we got rice,
Rice was good.
The beans were good. You know, we got a lot.
Kind of hard to fuck up dry rice and dry beans when you get right down to it, though.
Yeah, but did you guys ever get the canned meat?
Yes. Yes. Good shit. But that that powdered meat. Now this is just a piece of meaningless trivia. So, you know, somebody wrote in the other night and said they were eating Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Do you know, Cheetos, Cheesy Poofs, that whole, you know, orange stuff that sticks to your fingers thing?
Mm-hmm. The kind of stuff you can't sneak and eat, like Doritos and Cheetos, you know, because everybody's going to know what you have because it's all on your fingers.
Right. And so that was actually developed by scientists working in the Second World War, trying to figure out a way to get cheese to the troops because it was so perishable. Yep. So that cheese dust was developed by food scientists in the Second World War. And of course, it was, you know, as is always the case with government research, it was turned over for the benefit of capitalism.
Yeah.
And they never had to pay a dime for it. But anyway, back to diamond and silk.
Our tax dollars at work.
Mm-hmm. Back to diamond and silk. This is only 38 seconds, but it is 38 seconds of stone cold crazy.
Crazy.
And there's a comment down below it where a woman says, white folks who don't know any black folks see these two black women as typical black women, I fear. And I think there's some, mm-hmm. there's probably some truth to that statement.
Speaking of which, before I forget, because I was going to text you this earlier, I was, you know, I started listening to Amazon Music because, you know, since I'm a Prime, you know, member, I can listen to Amazon Music for free, just not the unlimited music. But, you know, they still have a pretty good selection of music because I was listening to the whole Aretha Franklin and, you know, all this. But then I got onto the Fifth Dimension and I'm listening to that music because there's a couple of songs that I love, like, you know, Marry Me Bill and, you know, Wedding Bell Blues and stuff like that, and Stone Cold Picnic or so, whatever. But I was listening to the rest of the album and I'm like, this is black music for Republicans.
Oh man, that's hard.
I mean, because I was listening and I'm like, some of it was just psychedelic, but it was just, there was this one song about patriotism. And, you know, we hold these truths self-evident. I mean, some of it was, I'm just like, you have Amazon Music, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have Amazon Prime. Do me a favor. Because I know you have a whole bunch of shit on your plate to listen to and read and stuff like that. But when you get a chance, go on to Amazon Music and look up the Fifth Dimension.
I remember the Fifth. This is
the burning of the
air. Or the one that may be more exemplary of it is Don't You Want to Fly With Me in My Beautiful Balloon?
Yeah, up and away.
Yeah.
And my beautiful balloon. And but listen to, okay, this was the 70s. And
late 60s even.
Late 60s, right. And listen to, and I'm
Sly and the Family Stone, it ain't.
No,
even Aretha Franklin, it ain't. Marvin Gaye, it ain't. I'm like, I have to give it to him.
It's like it's an African American harbinger of Up With People.
Right?
I hate myself for even remembering Up With People.
I'm mad at you too, because see, I had totally forgotten about him. Thank you, Bob.
I owe you.
Yeah, I know you do. Well, if it makes you any happier, guess what I'm going to go see tonight?
What's that?
Don't just be kind to me. Remember,
you're not going to see Green Book.
Going to see what?
You're not going to see Green Book.
I already saw Green Book, remember?
Oh, that's right, that's right.
No, I'm going to go see Cats.
Wow. Oh, is that part of your season ticket thing?
Yes.
Go.
No, I've always wanted to see Cats.
You're the last person in America who hasn't.
I know.
I saw the Road Company of Cats in 1987 in Atlanta, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
And I'm a hillbilly. Stop it.
Never seen it.
Memory, all alone in the moonlight. See, that's what you get when we got a $250 fundraising goal. By the way, you've been told by the anonymous person offering to have a show on me to keep me from eating that chocolate. Tracy's going to have to outbid me.
No.
Diamond and Silk, we're going to get to this yet.
Please.
I mean, it's Wednesday. The damn thing's been over since Saturday. And we still, there's still more clips to be had. I opened the program with Jerry Falwell threatening to kill Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez if she gets near anywhere near any of his concubovines.
Yeah, because, you know,
I'm still proud of that.
Deals, we can't have concubines. That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, did you give yourself a cowbell for that one?
I did. I self-awarded on concubovines.
Okay. You have to. You know,
and I also self-awarded on noting what a moving speech it was that Jerry gave.
Did you? And didn't you do moolah?
No. That was just moving.
No. Didn't you? Somebody was talking about money, and I think you did a moolah the other day, or about talk about the bench. It's all about the Benjamins. You didn't do moolah?
I don't think that was me. I'll take credit for things, but I don't remember that being me. But Diamond and Silk.
Nobody did it.
Diamond and Silk.
Okay, Diamond and Silk.
We're going to do this because we're running out of time.
Let's go to the clip. Oh, shit, yeah, we're running out of time. You know, let's go to the clip, Bob.
Yeah, let's go to the clip. We've done a lot of setup here. And there's really no setup for this because it's just 200 proof crazy.
And I heard that old Nancy Pelosi.
Uh-huh.
Talking about we're not going to give the president a blank check.
No, we're not. We're not going to give him a blank check. No.
No. I'm sorry, Miss Nancy.
Uh-huh.
He didn't ask you for a blank check.
No, he didn't.
He asked you for $5.7 billion
uh-huh.
so that we can build the wall.
That's right.
See, that's why I asked if the one on the right was the hype man. I mean, I'm trying to learn here.
When I watched that, only thing I could think of, you know what popped into my head was, and if she should not even have any residence in my head, but fucking Sarah Palin talking about Barack Obama, talking about shucking and jiving. Now, obviously she didn't know what shucking and jiving was because she, you know, that, what you just played, now that's shucking and jiving.
Well, do you remember a couple of weeks ago on Friday on the front porch, by the way, you just got a note in from Lady B. Bob, only you and Tracy can make eating government cheese a fond fucking memory. Ah, nothing like the government of the richest country in the world lending a hand to the poor. I enjoyed the show. By the way, the best song by the Fifth Dimension for me was Last Night I Didn't Get to Sleep at All. Oh, dear God.
Yes.
Last night I didn't get to sleep, didn't get to sleep, didn't get to sleep at all.
Yep.
$250 is the fundraising to close the evening. If you, I'll go overtime and I'll sing the whole goddamn Fifth Dimension catalog. If you, never mind, it ain't gonna work.
It ain't gonna work.
Lady B says, "Keep the faith, Bob, and don't eat the chocolate." That's two. By the way, the anonymous contributor has said, "I have saved your neck, Bob." No, you didn't save my neck. I'm not gonna drive the program into the gutter with 1 minute left in it. But it ain't my neck you saved. So,
I got before we go, and I know.
That wasn't a joke. No. Now I can't eat the chocolate, Tracy.
Fine.
Because we've only got $50 to finish the evening, so there will be no chat, but there will probably be nibbling.
Please do. I just want you. Because I don't have the balls to do it. And literally or figuratively, I don't have the balls.
And people have been known to kind of like, you know, have. I don't have the health insurance coverage, Tracy.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. And I don't want you sick. But before we go, I hope soon that you get an oven, because there's something that I want to send you so badly. It's I told you about this Cuban bakery in L.A. called Porto's, and they make. They have to, you know, the bakeries.
Yeah, and let me clear that up. We don't have a full on range here, but we've got a countertop convection oven, toaster oven. I mean, I can do cornbread.
Oh, you do?
I can do cornbread in it.
Oh, okay. I'm excited now because the Porto's, like I said, they.
Oh, wait. You got more. You got more mail. Hold on. Todd just said, "If you play those women again, I'm calling the police." But what I was going to say about them, just real quick, like, remember a couple of weeks ago on Friday on the Front Porch when you said, "Can black people do blackface?" And I had some off-the-cuff smart-ass answer. I think it took 3 weeks, but we got our answer. Yes, because what Diamond and Silk are doing is straight up pure minstrelsy.
It is.
Any pushback?
Nope. Well, you heard what I call them, Coon and Coonette. So.
Right, and I can't do that. But. Yeah.
Because me.
Oh, and by the way, Agnes is you know, she's just one wall away, and she sent me a link, Tracy. Headline: R. Kelly blames parents for selling daughters to him.
Oh yes. I wasn't going to bring that up, but yeah.
I mean, at some point, you do the whole bit with the drunk at the bar in the old Bewitched series, and you just, you know, turn the glass over and reach in your pocket and get the pint bottle out and throw it over your shoulder and say, "I quit."
So, how much did you say was left for tonight?
$50.
$25 challenge.
All right. So there's $25 challenge to finish the evening, courtesy of Tracy. Thank you. What will we call this? The, let's see, how about the...
Bob is too chicken shit.
It's the Bob's a Chicken Shit Challenge. That's it. I mean, if that doesn't scrounge up $25, nothing will. Tracy's Bob's a Chicken Shit Challenge is now on the table. On the clock. Oh, wait, it's only getting worse. Bob, if you sing again, I'm asking for my $200 back, and I'll let you eat the damn chocolate. On the other hand, Tracy has a beautiful voice.
Aww.
You know, what? People don't do this to Sam Cedar. They don't do this to Malloy. They don't do this to Rick Smith. Jesus. And how happy I am that they died. Jesus, how much, this is a, it don't get much more fun than this.
So now that I know that you have a convection oven that you could bake stuff,
yeah,
expect something in the mail post haste.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm excited now. Because you know how much I love you and yes, how much I love food. So yeah, I can't wait. Now I'm gonna be, as soon as I hang up, I'm going to hit my computer right now. So I can hopefully, because since Trashy boats usually ship it like overnight or whatever.
Oh, damn.
So. Yep.
Okay.
So on that note.
On that note.
I love you very much.
Oh, I love you as well. You have a lovely evening.
And I'll have a review of cats the next time we talk. And shut up that I'm just now saying it.
It'll be the most current review of cats in American theater history. Yeah, I know. Shut up, Bob.
Whatever.
Now, see, I'm being... That's what we mean when we say I'm a hillbilly elitist, Tracy.
Bob. Don't be telling me how to go and see, you know, revisionist revivals.
Okay, and by the way, Les says, I got a Tubman and an Abe on Tracy's challenge. Praise the Lord and pass the brass plate. So Les has met your challenge. And I like that. A Tubman and an Abraham.
There you go. A Tubman, yes. That'll never, is that going to ever happen?
It better, by God, happen if we take the White House back in 2020.
Yes.
I mean, fuck, we fight about everything else. Let's fight about who's on the currency. Let's get the genocidal mania. You know, and you know what? I'm fully in favor of Harriet Tubman on it. But can we all just agree that we're doing this for the Native American community?
Thank you.
I mean, it's like having, I don't know, it's like having Adolf Hitler on the 20 shekel note in Israel.
Thank you. Exactly.
All right, we're out of here, Tracy. Thank you, dear. Thanks for helping to finish it all off for the evening. That's a big boost to the rest of the week.
And do me a favor, just if you can, just a corner of the chocolate, and let me know if you can handle that. It's up to you.
No, I'm like I said, I'm going to nibble.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
I absolutely will.
I'm awfully soft.
And there will probably be other nibbling as well.
Cool deal, Bill.
I may find some of my hardcore buddies and say, all right, we're all just going to taste this. And it won't qualify because nobody's eaten the whole thing. But we may video it, too.
You still should video it. I'm being yelled at because it's dinner time. So, love you. Gotta go. Bye.
All right. Later. Bye now.
Bye.
Tracy, the lady cab driver calling from L.A. We gotta have our fun along the way or the madness will eat into our brains like, you know, Captain, it was terrible. They put things in our ears. Mm-hmm. And thank you again, Les, for jumping in on Tracy's challenge. Thank you, anonymous person who did not want to see me carried away to the hospital for Reaper pepper toxicity. Thank you. I can scarcely believe it. We've made it to the 6th day of March, and we're even with fundraising. We haven't been that way in a while. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaged in the program, however you do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly to Steve from Georgistan in the chat room this evening. Thank you very much to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years, Coal River Mountain Watch has stood in the breach, in the heart of the sacrifice zone, engaging in the struggle for human rights against the toxic practice of mountaintop removal. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.